The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes, man. Yes, man. That's a weird song, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
It goes all over the shop, doesn't
it? It's a weird... Are you? How familiar are you? I'm just tempted to do the whole show just playing different versions of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. The fact that it's a pun...
Oh, yeah.
Because it's sweet, as in it's a musical sweet, S-U-I-T-E, but Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. It's about Judy... Not Judy Sills. It's about Judy... Judy! It's about Judy. It's about Judy. I've got some of her albums. I tried to get her. She was over here this month. I tried to get her on the show. Judy Collins. Or was she married to the teacher from Please Sir? Tim Arbuton. What was his name? Alderton.
This is what you're going to be like in the old people's home.
So, Judy Collins. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Right.
The, I'm just tempted just to play this for the whole... This is you need the introduction. You need the introduction.
Does it not go...
No, the introduction of them live at Woodstock is them going, this is only the second... See, I think it's Graham Nash going, this is only the second time we've played together and we're shitting ourselves. That's...
talking like that for?
Because he's got that horrible nasal transatlantic...
I got to enjoy it for a while.
Here we go.
Hey, man, I just got to say...
Stephen Stills doing it. Hey, man, I got to say, this is only the second time we play together.
That you people have got to be the strongest bunch of people I ever saw. 3 days, man, 3 days. We just love you. We just love you. Tell them who we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Hello, Tess, 4965. Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with us... Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Yes!
Getting to the point. Maybe there's a bit later on. It's only the second time we've ever played in front of a live audience and we're shitting ourselves.
Gosh.
How many people? 500,000 people at Woodstock. It lasted for 3 days. How many people died there? I tell you why I'm asking that question, because there's a great documentary that my sister turned me on to, then a lot of you turned me on to. There are two versions of this documentary, two different documentaries about the same story, the Fyre Festival. Big festival. Last year or the year before, 2017 maybe?
Yeah, it was all over Twitter, wasn't it?
Big luxury festival, like $25,000 a ticket, yurts.
Millionaires go in there
and they rock up there. And now I've not seen the end of the documentary. I've got 30 minutes to go and I'm really hoping in the last 30 minutes, Billy or Barry or whatever his name is, can turn it around. I don't know the full story. So maybe he turns it around. We just don't know. But people rocking up to, they had a private island and then they got kicked off the private island because they referenced Pablo Escobar owning the island and the leaseholder said, you can use the island, but please don't mention Pablo Escobar. We're trying to improve the island's image, and all the marketing is it's an island owned by Pablo Escobar. Kicked off straight away, so they end up in not such an exclusive island. It was like actually quite a big town in there. And a guy said, "Listen, it's an incredible story, right? We should try and get some of the players from it because there's a guy in his fifth. I mean, it's a guy's in his 50s, right? And the thing is, I wonder if it is an incredible Fyre documentary, Evian Water.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there a crowdfunder for that person?
What person?
Someone doesn't get paid for water or something.
Oh, no. Don't worry about that, right? So they're massively in debt, right? And they've got four trucks full of Evian Water, right? And the customs says, yeah, we got the water. You owe us $175,000 import duty.
Right? What?
And there's a guy who's in his 50s. Hello, caller, you're on the radio.
Hello, darling. What's your text?
OK. There's a guy in his 50s who's part of the organisational team. He's part of the promotions, I think, right? And he's a gay guy, right? And he tells this story laughing, but it's obviously it's horrific. I think he's laughing out of embarrassment, out of shame, and out of just how ridiculous this thing got. Uh-huh. I think this is the clip here. I've just found it on YouTube.
I'm not going to talk about that. Let me tell you something. We had four containers filled, four 18-wheeler trucks filled with Evian water.
There may be bad language, so I'm going to hover over the old Dumpington. Here we go. Oh, this is incredible.
Containers filled, four 18-wheeler trucks filled with Evian water. But I had left the week before for 2 days to go to meetings in Bermuda for the America's Cup. And when I came back, I'd missed the big meeting with Customs. And, of course, Customs had said to Billy and the gang, you need to pay us $175,000 in cash today for us to release the water. I went down. Well, Billy called me. I'm going to speak completely, this won't go that far, I'm sure. But Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. And I said, oh my gosh, I've been taking something for the team every day. He said, well, you're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck dick to fix this water problem?
It's incredible.
And I said, Billy, what? He said, Andy, if you will go down and suck...
We know what he's going to do.
Dick, who's the head of customs, and get him to clear all of the containers with water... You will save this festival.
It's not a metaphor.
And
he actually wants him to do it.
Drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really. And I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team. And I got to his office fully prepared to suck it.
Okay.
But he couldn't have been nicer. And he's like, Andy, listen, I will release all the water. I will let you serve it. But I want to be one of the first people to be paid this import fee for what you're doing. And I said, okay, great. And I got back, and I had all the water that we needed. Can you imagine, in my 30 years of a career, that this is what I was going to do? I was going to do that, honestly, to save the festival.
It's an incredible film. I mean, it's funny, and you're laughing. And I was laughing as I watched it. I thought, yeah, okay, suppose that would be a 25-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Asked to go and take one for the team. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's an incredible film, right? But the reason I know how many people died at Woodstock is because someone in the film says, look, you know, Woodstock, no, when people talk about Woodstock, right, this is before it happened, before they knew it was going to be a disaster, but it was looking like it was going to be a mess. He said, look, when people talk about Woodstock, they talk about the music. Right? They just talk about the music, the rock and roll. They don't talk about the freeways being blocked with cars for days as people abandon their cars, which they did. They don't talk about the mud, which they do a little bit. They don't talk about the number of people who died at Woodstock. So maybe we'll get away with this at this fire festival. It's on Netflix, that film. There's another one on Hulu, apparently. And I thought, that's a fun game to play. How many people died at Woodstock? Now, 500,000 people, 3 days, a lot of bad acid. Don't touch the brown acid. How many people do you think died at the Woodstock Festival in 1969, I guess it was?
The voice I'm getting from the ether is 26.
Okay. Two.
Oh.
Two people died. One died from drugs. The other person died. I didn't know this. They went to sleep under a tractor.
What'd you do that for? And what, and the tractor started?
Or? Well, one has to assume that the tractor started and rolled over them.
What?
I mean, this is the thing, hippies. Don't take the brown acid. Instead, you don't take the brown acid, then sleep under a tractor. Jack, would you ever sleep under a tractor whilst high on drugs?
No.
Well, then there you go. Then your life has just been saved, young man. sing hosannas. What can we do for you tonight, Jack?
Oh, I was just phoning up to ask how you're doing.
Ah, that's none of your business! Oh, what do I sound like then? That's none of your business! Bobcat Goldthwait. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, although it hurts my throat.
Don't do it again.
Here's the thing, Jack. Right this second, I'm all right, because I'm with you, I'm with Catherine, I've got Sam. Wednesday I nearly jumped off a bridge. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, highs and lows. Highs and lows. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but...
I'm doing fine, by the way, is one of Jason Donovan's greatest songs. You know that one? I'm doing fine. Dun, 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 It's like a 60s.
I don't remember that one.
Nowhere says I love her. She nowhere understands.
Yes.
But if I said I'd walk away. I think I'm singing a different song now.
You are. My sister.
Ask me how I'm doing now. Take it from me. I'm doing fine.
Right, because my sister used to love Jason Donovan, so it will be there in my memory banks, but the way you sang it, no.
No, okay. Do you know the song, Jack?
No.
Do you know Jason Donovan?
Sorry, no.
What? This is one of the greatest. This is one of the greats. Here we go. 60s style.
Oh, they were trying to make him all guitar-y, weren't they? Don't think about them, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum. Oh, this is like a Day Tripper.
Isn't it? Exactly like Day Tripper. Never make her happy. She never understood. And when I said I'd walk away, she never thought I would. Oh, a bit hot there.
Oh, look at all that hair.
I tried to have my hair like that. Anyway. Yes. Yes, Jack.
Okay, so... I went back to a doctor's today.
Yeah.
And they told me how you're doing with your mental health.
Yes.
And I turned around and said to them,
F you, losers! F you, doctor! F you! And then you smeared fecal matter on their faces. That's what you did. That's how you told them how you were doing. Did you?
No.
Nope. Okay.
No.
Okay. Probably best you
did. I turned around and said to them,
why did you turn around?
He turned around a lot.
Why weren't you facing them?
So I said to them, it doesn't matter if you've got mental health. Mental health is just something. But the main thing is what people see you for who you are.
Yes.
And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's like wearing makeup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what you feel like on the outside. Not on the inside, but on the outside.
What? Let me turn around a second. Hang on. What?
Jack, can I make a suggestion? When you're talking to a doctor, just tell him how you feel. What's with the riddles?
You can get... No, he's getting metaphysical.
Well, the doctor's got 10 minutes per patient,
He's getting spiritual.
It's like, maybe I will and maybe I won't.
I think I solved the plot twist in this series. I think at the end of this season, which I think is season 4, we find out that Jack is actually a young version of Rainbow George that's travelled through time. I think I've worked it out already. So, fingers crossed. Okay. Thanks very much for your call, Jack. I appreciate that. Susan's texted in. Just to let you know, Ian, you are behaving like an ignorant pig, and this is the last, and last is in inverted commas, which means it won't be. This is the last time I'll be calling your show Go To Hell. Well, if you take away... That's great, because I actually asked you to stop calling me. You're banned from calling the show. So, thank you. But the last makes me slightly worried.
Yeah, when my daughter first discovered the air bunnies, quote mark things, she was using it all over the place, including, yes, Dad.
03444991000 is the telephone number. We got Nigel, we got Amy, we got you, we got me, we got her, got him, we got Friday Vibe.
We've got the show is what we got.
Thank you. She's not far off it. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on air and off the leash on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Margaret. Good evening, Margaret.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. We missed you.
No, you didn't. No one missed me. You had some great covers. You had Christo in. You had Jamie in. You had great guys in. Bit of variety is the spice of life.
I can still say that we missed you, though.
Okay, you can say it, Margaret. I'm going to be honest. I missed you too.
Now, the thing is, I was going to tell you a little story that happened to me when that man phoned you up and said he didn't want to die alone.
Oh, yeah.
After your amazing story with your insurance, this is going to fall a bit flat.
Oh, she's being sarcastic.
Since I decided to phone you up about it, I will.
Yes.
4 o'clock one morning, my doorbell went.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's a bit strange, but it can't be a robber or anybody because they
wouldn't be a robber ringing a doorbell.
Quite. So I went down and I opened the door, and there was my next door neighbour in his pyjamas.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm dying.
Oh, dear.
What?
He said, I'm dying. And so I said, this is so English. What else do you do? So he said, I'm dying. And I said, oh, dear, you'd better come in. So yeah. He came in and he stood in my lounge and he said, yes, I am definitely dying. So I said, well, you'd better sit down then. So he sat down and then he said, I'm gone. And he died.
What?
Yeah. He was just what other guy said. He didn't want to die alone. Well, my neighbour didn't want to die alone, did he? So he died in my house.
How long? Yes. What was he dying of?
Well, I presume he's an elderly man, a heart attack or something. I don't know.
But you did you call an ambulance to try and stop him from dying?
Well, no, it was so quick. He said, I'm dying. I said, come in. He stood in my lounge. He said, I'm dying, and he died.
How long did it take for him to come in?
I mean, obviously, I phoned 999, but, you know, he was dead. So, anyway, it was just that not that I would recommend it, but your poor guy is doing so.
Don't worry, Nigel won't be listening, so it won't scare him. But how long from him knocking on the door to him falling down dead?
Oh, a few minutes or less.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I suppose when you know, you know, don't you?
Well, do you? Do we all get the insight?
No, I think he... I've got a feeling that it was a heart attack and he could feel it, the pain.
Can I ask you a question about what happened immediately after? Did the police come round?
Yeah, no, ambulance came round.
So no police came round?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay. An ambulance came round and they took him away. But it was a bit strange. Because
it's a little
when
bit strange.
I phoned up 99, I said, I don't know what to do because there's a dead man sitting in my couch. And that must sound a bit funny.
Well,
anyway.
How close were you to this dead person?
I hardly knew him at all. Wow. He was a very, very private person.
Wow, that's incredible. What a privilege.
He shared his most intimate moment with
you. Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, that's sweet. Have you ever thought of it?
It's true. That's a real honour. I mean, it's a weird honour. It's not an honour I necessarily want, but the fact that he came to you, that's incredible. You should be very proud of yourself.
Imagine the thought process from him, though.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's sad.
OK, but your story about your insurance, well done that you stuck with it. Yeah.
I think your story's a little bit better. I think your story's a little bit better. Nice one, Margaret. Okay. Thank you for that. Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. Wow. That's a story, huh?
I mean, at least my neighbour only comes round, like, for parcels and that.
Isn't it? Good evening, Nick.
Good evening, Ian. We spoke previously. I'm the lawyer about your potential stalking.
Oh, hello, Nick. Yes, mate. Good. Yes, that seems... Well, that seems to have gone, although he sent me an email 2 days ago. yeah, but, you know, I think the idiot sent me an email 2 days ago because he thought I was talking about him on air when I wasn't. But
now you are, so...
Weirdo alert! Anyway, yeah, moving on.
I also do RTA stuff, road traffic accident stuff as well, and just hearing about your little insurance problem that you've got at the moment. Yeah. The situation's kind of changed in terms of insurance companies just paying out now, so it's changed somewhat. And what you've got when you went into the back of this guy at 4 miles an hour and there was no damage, it's what's called an LVI, low velocity impact.
Yeah.
And insurance companies are quite hot on that. So if your insurance company refused to pay out, you could effectively admit liability, but then say, well, it hasn't caused any damage and it shouldn't affect your no claims or your insurance.
But what if he claims the magic whiplash?
Well, he will, but that doesn't mean he's going to get paid out on it. He would still have to prove that he suffered an injury. And when I deal with a lot of claimant work, so people that are for it, and I deal with a lot of RTA fraud, which is phantom passengers, induced crashes, LVIs, low velocity impact, and that sort of thing. And the first thing I look at is an engineer's report that deals with the damage and the value of the damage.
Yeah.
So if you've got photographs that are timestamped, you've got the metadata to support it, that's contemporaneous evidence to show that there was little or no damage at all.
Yeah.
So he would have to prove to the court that he was injured as a result of it, and the burden would then effectively be on him to prove
it. Isn't it to prove one of these injuries? Don't you just go to either a very hassled doctor or a bent doctor, and they'll go, can you move your shoulder? No, I can't. All right, well, I'll write you a little note.
No, what happens is there's the approved medico-legal expert, and they're approved by, I can't remember what the body is, but you have to be on an approved list.
Yeah.
And you go and see them. And, yes.
Suddenly my head is going...
Baby, baby, baby!
This is great, Nick! Let's sue his ass!
And, and it may be that he says he's got some sort of restriction, but then it would still be for him to convince a judge that it was a result of as a result of it. And what your insurance company can do is effectively put a pleading of fraud in there to say he's being dishonest or he's exaggerating his claim.
Okay.
And what they'll also do is a search to see if he's had any previous personal injury claims and see whether he's
It's so stressful. I thought this was it was such a horrible experience because he was so aggressive. I pulled over and texted Kath straight after in, a bit of shock because it was horrible. And now I'm just getting this letter again. It was like, particularly on Wednesday when it came in, and Wednesday was a dark old day, and getting that was like, oh, flipping heck, man.
Yeah, just added. I imagine it just added to the weight that you got generally. Anyway,
look, you've got me wondering now. His weird attitude.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Drugs. He was on drugs.
Do you think?
He was high on drugs. He had a cokey vibe.
Right. No, either that and or. Are you sure he didn't make you go into the back of him on purpose?
No. It wasn't one of them.
Right.
It wasn't one of them. It was.
Because you do get those sometimes accidents where they either pull it straight in front of you or they take their brake lights out, slam on the brakes, and you've got no idea.
And don't they sometimes work in tandem with someone else?
Yeah. And so one car will pull in front of another one, they'll slam on the brakes, you're going to the back of that other car, drive off.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of these are cross-referenced with other claims, so there's effectively a big database. If somebody ever has a claim, it goes on a database. So other insurance companies have access to that, and they can effectively cross-reference.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I hope that his claim is for like loads of rear damage because I've got a picture that says there isn't, but we know it won't be. It's going to be for whiplash.
But even so, it seems like it's not as cut and dry as it used to be.
No,
it isn't. It definitely isn't. And what can happen is if the judge has found that the term's called fundamentally dishonest, so he's either exaggerated about any element of his claim or he's exaggerated any element of his claim, what can happen is this. He'd then be liable for his own solicitor's costs in full. He'd be liable for the defendant's.
But this is the thing, though. It's the there is a chance I could end up paying a lot of money in solicitor's fees.
Well, no, you won't, because your insurance will cover all this.
Oh.
So all this is covered by your insurance. But again, if the judge finds that he's been dishonest in any way, the judge can refer the file to the Attorney General, so for prosecution, because it's perjury, and he can be sent to prison for it. And if he's found guilty of it, he would have to declare that to his insurance company. And it also means that he'd never or find it very difficult to get insurance again because it would be insurance fraud.
Yeah.
And if you put into Google fundamentally dishonest road traffic accident, you can see that people all the time get sent to prison for these sort of things.
By the way, I have to say, by coincidence, fundamentally dishonest road traffic accident, they are a great band. They are touring right now, guys. If you get the chance, go out and see them. Nick, I appreciate your help, brother. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. And I like Bo Rap, even though you didn't. Sorry.
Go away, loser. Terrible film.
Bo Rap.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Bo Rap.
Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, hello, Amy. Oh, Amy. What's going on here with Amy?
Oh, hello.
Hello. Yes, hello.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't believe it.
Why?
Well, no, I was being you.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. You're all right.
I am. I'm out of work too, actually, but I wanted to just ring to say, I'm just really glad that you're back. Good to hear your voice. I'm not.
I thought you were going to phone up and say that you really enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody, and I would have had to cut you off as well.
Oh, no, I don't enjoy that at all.
Okay, fine. You don't enjoy it. Okay, right. Okay.
The original song, yeah.
The original song's all right. It's all right, but the film is...
Go on.
Yeah. Six bloody minutes. All right, well, what's your works do? Who has a works do in January?
Right, we were open over Christmas.
Yeah,
so this is basically
your Christmas
our
do.
Christmas party. Like, I've had Christmas dinner tonight.
Oh, I could murder a Christmas dinner right now.
Oh.
I would love a Christmas dinner.
Okay, me well.
All right, listen, it's not the greatest line. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, George. Good evening, George.
Hello.
Hello, George. Good evening, George.
Good evening, Ian, good Catherine.
Evening. Good evening.
Hello.
This is big evening for me. This is a hat-trick.
What is it, the anniversary of going wrong this time?
No, it's a hat-trick for me today on Talk Radio. Mike Graham in the morning, George Galloway, and now you. And I can't remember last time I got a hat-trick, but anyway, it's...
What do you win?
Well, I'm hoping at the end of the day to get someone to write about this hat-trick.
No one's interested in an old man phoning a radio station. It's not newsworthy. It's not a news story. The man who won't shut up phones that radio station three times.
Well, both Mike and George Galloway gave me the big build-up, unlike you. And
What big build-up? Here comes another boring call from George.
That's not what George Galloway said. He said Rainbow George, a legend, and
yeah, I said that until I kept saying that until we, you know, until it got to this stage.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I haven't spoken to him for a long time, and
he'll learn.
We first met in I gave him a
when he was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
No, he was part of a by-election in government.
All right, Scotland. All right, whatever. Listen, we'll come back to you after the news, OK?
Good. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
That's a song, isn't it? That's a song, kids. That's a song, George.
Yes, where were we?
Listening to you bang on about some stuff while you didn't engage in a conversation, I think.
Sorry?
I think that's where we were.
I was telling you about when I first met George.
How long were you on George's show for tonight?
Not long.
Okay, so does it really count?
Of course it counts.
It's about 10 seconds or something, wasn't it?
No, it was longer than that. And last time I spoke to him, he cut me off when I told him.
Well,
that...
then there you go. So you get here's the thing, man. You get longer on our show than you get in any of the other shows. So just, you know,
don't call the other shows.
Yes, you get longer on our show than you do on the others, and yet you treat us like shit, and you treat the others like they're gods. Right?
In what way do I treat you like shit?
When I said we'll be back after the break, good.
I thought you'd cut me off before the break.
No, I'm a nice guy. I'm tempted to cut you off now. Here's the thing, man. Let's stop phoning up my show to tell me about other shows you phoned up and either got on or not got on, and just phone up my show to tell me about what you want to say to my show. How's about them? How about them, apples?
I want to complete the hat trick on your show.
Okay, you've done it, George.
What do you mean I've done it?
Well, you wanted to complete the hat trick. You've done it.
Well, you've been talking a lot about predictions and insurance, and by synchronicity, I'm watching.
I've not, yes.
Golf on the telly, and it's the Farmers Insurance Tournament. And and as I say, you've made lots of predictions, so I would like to make mine.
I think I made one prediction.
No, you made lots of predictions.
Go on, well, I don't remember. I remember predicting that the guy was going to put in a claim for whiplash.
Yeah, but you mentioned the word prediction.
Okay, George. All right, let's just get to the point, because I want to say how crap the Queen film is. So let's just get to the point. Come on, chop.
The point is that my prediction, Brexit to Brexit, from the EU to the IU to the NEU.
What do you mean?
Are you mad? They cancelled Brexit.
Brexit is Britain and Ireland joining together.
Okay.
And from the EU to the IU, that stands for Ireland United. And the NEU stands for New European Union.
Okay.
And I'm delighted to have made that prediction.
Okay, the prediction's been made.
Yeah.
And you've done the hat trick, so I guess we're done now.
And a request.
Well, if it's to play your song, I'm not going to do it, because I'm in charge of the music and I'm feeling a very strong CSMY vibe tonight.
What does that mean?
It means CS stands for Ireland and Britain as one, and MY stands as Wales and Scotland as two. CSMY. What do you want? You can ask for a request. It's not going to happen. So let's just get to
what's
the
not going to happen.
The request is not going to be met. So.
It was a song that features.
It's not going to be met. Whatever you ask, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's lovely of you.
I'm a nice guy. George, don't take the piss, mate. You've had longer on this show tonight than your appearance on George Galloway's and Mike Graham's show combined. So come on, man. You get more time on this than any other show, and I'm just choosing not to play some crappy song that you're going to suggest. I'm in charge of the music. CSMY.
Yeah, well, it was a song that featured in a couple of...
Is it by CSMY?
No. Wait,
England and Ireland and Wales and Scotland?
No.
Then I'm not playing it.
No, it was a song that featured in two party political broadcasts in Northern Ireland.
Okay. Always hits.
And it's called You People.
Okay.
People can go online and find that themselves.
And I wish them the very best of luck.
Yeah, well. Okay. It's on YouTube.
There we go. Beautiful. All right.
Ben Real.
Okay. Nice one, George.
You people.
You people.
Yeah.
You people. All right. Nice one, George. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good weekend.
And you.
Bye. So I got your present.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
From our good friend, Scott Balcony. Open that up. One is for me. One is for you. This is a genuine present. It cost me money. Didn't get a freebie. It cost me money, actual money.
This is exciting.
Money.
Exciting
Scott
times.
Scott is a T-shirt printer.
Yeah, what could it be?
It's a T-shirt. I'll give
printed,
you that.
Printed one.
Yes.
How will I know which one's mine?
Come here. Let me give it.
So, you got your receipt there.
Don't look at that. Actually, do look at it and see how much I spent on you. Give me the T-shirts. Right.
Ouch.
These are the T-shirts we got up for, and we're going to franchise. This is the franchise. This is... Just read what it says there, please.
Let's ride.
Hang on a minute. Right, hang on a minute. I've got a phone. Scott, can you...
I can't read it when it's all scrunched
right,
up.
Right, you read it.
Let's ride. Right. Ian and Kath Motorcycle Club.
Yeah.
Scooter Division.
Right.
It's got a picture of a scooter
okay,
on it.
Okay, there's a slight problem with this.
Show me it again.
No,
has it got any handlebars?
I need to call Scott, because there's a slight problem.
Oh. It should be Kath and Ian's. Kath.
George. No, it's Ian and Cass, right, because it scans better. But there's a problem. There's a little problem with the old T-shirts. Yeah, and I just think... So let's just give him a little call on the old telephone. I've got my phone.
I hope he doesn't open his phone calls with a swear.
He won't. He's a nice guy. He'll
see it's you.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's late, you know. It's quarter past 11.
He should be up...
Hey, mate.
Hello, mate. How you doing, Scott? You're all right. It's Ian. You're live on Talk Radio.
All right. How you doing?
Well, I'm great. Listen, I just opened the T-shirts that you sent, the Ian and Cass Motorcycle Club Scooter Division.
Yeah.
They're great. They're great. I love it. I couldn't hope for anything more. Well, I could hope for one thing more.
Oh?
Yet the thing I asked you to put on them.
I've gone nervous now. My throat's gone dry.
Yep, you should be, mate, because I'm making an official complaint. Because I said, on the back of my T-shirt, it had to say President. And on the back of Cass' T-shirt, it had to say Vice President. And it doesn't say that. And I've opened them on air, expecting to do that as a big reveal gag, and you've not put it on there. Explain yourself, you T-shirt fraudster.
I forgot.
Brexit. This is Brexit.
Everyone's asleep.
I don't care about your baby being asleep. Wake your baby up. I want her to know what a lousy dag she's got.
I've got a Sharpie. I could write it on.
No! This is the problem. He should be trying double hard because of Brexit, and he's trying half as hard because of James Dyson. How are you going to fix this, scumbag?
Swing by the shop tomorrow, and I'll fix it.
I don't live anywhere near Uxbridge, mate.
Oh, man. This is awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll do some more. Send them to you.
Here's what's going to happen, Scott. You're going to do us 25 more each. That makes 50.
Okay.
And you're going to
give them away. Give them away to the listeners.
No. Get lost. No. I'm going to have spares.
No.
That's all we're going to wear forever.
I'm going to have spares. No. I'll pop them in the post to you next week.
It's a good design, though, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Is a great design. But the gag of the reveal that was happening on air just now has been ruined by your shoddy team. I don't think
it's expected. Have you seen the Ted Bundy tapes?
I've just started watching tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. Have you
seen... I think he did it.
Have you seen the...
I've heard it. The first episode, they're just saying, he's so good-looking.
I know, and I didn't fancy him.
He's a good-looking fellow.
Isn't that weird, though, isn't it?
Have you seen Fire?
He's not that good-looking.
No, he's just not ugly.
He's like Richie Manick.
Have you seen Fire?
Yes.
Not the actual thing, the documentary?
No, I've seen the documentary, yeah.
Okay, well,
Billy.
I've got 20 minutes left of it. I'm hoping he can turn it around before the end. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, no, that's funny you say that, because I've didn't watch the last 20 minutes either. So I don't know if he goes to prison. I assume he does.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
See the bloke saying he went and did the... for the water.
Well, he was going to... We just played the clip out. He was going to do that for the water, but the guy let him off. He had mouthwash and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I was literally asleep. Phone rang.
Yeah.
I'm there, but I was just asleep. I wasn't...
Well, hang on. Are you just telling us what happened... Have we finished that? Are you telling us what happened 4 minutes ago now?
I was just thinking about that bit, what he was going to do for the water.
You were dreaming about a man giving blowjobs for water.
Yeah.
You need to focus more on the back of your T-shirts.
Oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry.
Now, listen, there's one thing I want to ask you about them. Then we hang up. That's our little private gag that we have there. What a scumbag.
You woke him up.
Yeah, good. He's ruined it. There should be on the back there, my T-shirt president, Catherine's T-shirt vice president.
Empress.
Vice president, VP, because whoever completes their motorcycle training first... And gets their licence first, becomes the president of the club.
Yeah,
I've done two out of the three.
Yeah, but what if you fail the next bit and I breeze through all three, right? Then I get to wear your T-shirt and you get to wear mine.
We're gonna put these on the website at some point. You're gonna be able to buy these. These are great. But
I don't know if I want to admit them to the club.
A franchise. They won't be in our club, but they'll be a franchise.
Yeah.
But he screwed that up, and he needs to learn some manners and some respect. 0344 499 1000 Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes, man! But we're not free. We are enslaved by not just the Tory government, by the Labour Party, by politics, by capitalism,
by
Amazon, by Apple. By your iPhone! Yes. So that song's a lie. Before the break, we got some great calls lined up. We got Richard, we got Nigel, but before that... we got a call. Someone's calling again from Granada in España. But before that, we were speaking to Tony, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Tony. Everyone's going to come away from this a little bit more enriched. Good evening, Tony.
Hello, how are you doing?
That's none of your business. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I heard you talking about that podcast you've been listening to, The Staircase.
I listened to that last year, yes.
Well, have you seen it on Netflix?
Yes.
They've got the documentary on there.
Yeah, they don't really mention the owl theory in there very much, but yes, I've seen it.
Oh, right, OK. And there was another couple that I was going to say to you. Have you seen Evil Genius on there?
Did I start watching that and get a bit bored?
It's a four-part where a fella walks into a bank and he's got a bomb round his neck.
Oh, no, I saw that. Oh, flipping it. Be warned, you'll see a man with a bomb strapped to him being blown up.
Did you expect to see that?
No, I did not expect to see that. I made Kath watch it. Kath was genuinely peed off with me for showing it to her. Because it's about 7 minutes in and she went, oh, why have you shown me that? Genuine, very...
I didn't think they were going to do it, did you?
No, I wish they hadn't. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was quite good, though. But the actual documentary itself was quite good.
I'll tell you a good one. Fire is good.
Sorry?
Fire, F-Y-R-E, about...
I've seen that about the festival. Yeah,
there are two documentaries about this. There's one on Netflix and there's one on Hulu. Who's got Hulu? I don't know. But apparently in the one on Hulu, they've got the Billy Guy Gruff, the man behind it. He's in it. He's in the documentary and talks to them.
Yeah, he was in this one. He's in the one on that.
He doesn't talk to them, you muppet! And I keep starting, but I don't. The Ted Bundy tapes. How do you feel about that?
I've started watching about half an hour of that.
That looks
really good. But I'll tell you what is good. You've probably seen that, Making of a Murderer.
Yeah, I've seen the first one. I've not bothered with the second one.
No?
Do you know why I've not bothered with the second one?
Why?
He's guilty.
Well,
he's totally... wasn't it? I can't remember. Was it his wife or someone? I can't remember. But he's totally, totally guilty. He is guilty.
That was filmed over... That's the other good one on there. Innocent Man.
I am an innocent man!
You absolute bell end. Look what you've done, you knobber.
But I made it stop.
No, but you made it stop, but now you're going to get it. Now you're going to get it. Hang on,
I threw a newspaper at him and it missed and hit his water bottle.
She sat literally 8 inches away from me. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you asked for this, Catherine.
I know this song too.
You made this happen.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did, actually. Yes, you did. You made it happen. This wasn't going to happen until you made it happen. Here we go.
Sorry about that.
Shut up, Tony.
Oh, God, really? This is the worst version as well. What's this? On a Bon Tempi.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. Another verse.
They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by.
If you're going to ruin it, I'm not going to do it.
Do it, go on. Go on, I won't laugh. It'll be good.
Who is that? Billy Joel?
Yep.
No, it was me. That's how good I am. That is how good I am.
Yeah,
I sound... I can do all the voices. Here we go. Please don't ruin this. This is not... This is a very special song to me. Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool.
People know the
they
tune.
Will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie. I know you're only protecting yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else. Someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can.
Wow, the drowning man.
Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get a look at the young. That's inappropriate, that bit. Here we go. I'm only willing to hear... You're ruining it.
Well, I'm trying to help you because you're nowhere near it.
If you're going
to
ruin it, there's no point in me doing it.
All right, go on. Take the run up, but this is awful.
If you're going to ruin it, please don't ruin it. You've done this. You've made me start again. You did this. Just don't ruin it. Shut up, Tony!
Stop victim blaming.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up.
Oh, dear.
They hear a voice in the hall outside and they hope that it just passes by.
I wish it would.
Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool. They will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie. I know you're only protecting yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else. Someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love
you've been denying you could ever feel. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can. Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get to look at the young. I don't like that line. I'm only willing to hear you cry because I am an innocent man.
I know this bit.
No, you don't. Oh, God.
Hi.
I'm an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am.
Oh.
They're not Jack Black, they're
Neto Lieber, isn't it? I don't like... Do you know what, Tony? I don't like your attitude, mate. Your attitude sucks.
I think it's spot on.
I'm going to cut Tony off now. He's a scumbag. He's a troll. He's a vile troll. Let's go to Lee. Lee is calling from Spain. Good evening, Lee. Hasta la vista. And te quiero. It's great to have you on board. What can we do for you tonight, Lee?
Hey, your Spanish is good.
Sorry?
Your Spanish is good.
Gracias. Gracias.
De nada.
You're in Spain and you can't even speak Spanish. I'm proud of you, son.
No, I do. I do.
Go on, then.
Okay. ¿Cómo estás?
Te quiero, te capascana, el amor de mi cara.
I don't think that's Spanish.
Okay, well, that just shows how... Because that was that's like a very advanced Spanish, which you probably don't know. So that's cool. Is it warm in Spain, or is it cold? Because it can get cold in Spain.
It's freezing.
Unlucky,
it's really cold.
What are you doing in Spain? Do you live there? Are you working there, or what's going on?
Yeah, I live here. I'm not working at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is happy days. Happy days. How long have you been out there for?
17 years.
Flip it, Eggman! And how many places do a good egg and chips? Oh, egg and chips! Oh, a fancy egg and chips!
Granada is a classy environment. They do not have egg and chips places.
I do fancy egg and chips now, though, mate. You shouldn't have brought that up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Ian, you're right.
Of course I'm right. I'm always right. I'm a very right guy. What can we do for you this evening, Lee? It's lovely to talk to you.
I wanted to know what you guys thought about. I have some tattoos, and I want to have a new tattoo.
Yep.
And I thought, is it wrong to let the child do a small part of the tattoo on the body?
Now, when you say the child, first of all, who is the child? Just a random kiddie or your own child?
Yeah, my own child, yeah.
How old is your child?
7.
And when you say have them do it, do you mean, like, with the needle and stuff?
Yeah, but
that's insane.
I mean is
that's insane.
Pardon?
That's insane, giving them the tattoo needle.
No, what I mean is, I want to have a new tattoo.
Yeah.
And as they get older, I can see they're, you know, changing into adults. And I don't know. I want a little bit of the child to put a bit of tattoo.
You want him to design the child, he or she, it, to design a bit of the tattoo?
No, he... I want him to go with me to the tattoo parlour.
Yes.
The tattooista. And obviously the guy does tattoo, but the child does a small part.
They're not called tattooistas. Yeah. He's combined tattoo with barista.
Well, where do you think that comes from?
Barista?
What do you mean? Because it comes from Costa. Like, what are you saying? Are you saying you want... Do you want the child, here we have established, to draw a bit of the tattoo that the tattooista... Play a game. I know it looks it's like a muffet of tea. He draws a bit that the tattooista then tattoos on you. Or do you want the child to hold the tattoo needle?
Yes.
To which of those two options?
to hold the needle, to actually hold the tattoo.
No.
What is that?
That is nuts. Hey, having a picture that your kid has drawn tattooed on you, actually, I quite like that. That's kind of quite cool.
No, not something that a child has drawn. I thought about that.
No, actually. I know. You want him to actually do the tattoo. That's insane, isn't
it? Just a small part. Just a centimetre of tattoo.
Wouldn't you like bleeding that? That's quite horrific for a 7-year-old.
Pardon?
Won't you bleed a bit?
I don't understand.
You know, well, blood, when it comes out your body, that's bleeding. Do you not bleed when you have a tattoo done?
Yes, of course.
So your 7-year-old's going to make you bleed?
So I was only asking if you thought it was okay or not okay.
Well, we're running through the pros and cons, and so far...
Tell me why you would like it done. Explain it to me. Go on.
Because a tattoo means something normally.
Yep.
And so, for me, that would mean something.
Okay, fine. Then, do it. I think it's a lovely idea to involve your children with body art. I think it's a lovely idea.
That's all I was asking. It's not a wrong thing to do.
No, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a bonding experience. I think it'll be great. And in return, you should do a little tattoo on him. Only a centimetre.
Maybe like a little moustache or something.
A moustache. Like in Friends.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen it. Do it, man. Do it. When are you going to get it done, Lee?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to know what you guys thought.
I think it's beautiful to involve your children in making permanent marks on your body.
Can
definitely.
I make a suggestion?
Here we go. Here comes Mum's... Quick, Mum's coming! I the stash!
Sleep on it and I make the decision in the morning.
Okay. Thank you.
When you've had a glass of water.
Nice one, Lee. Good luck, mate. Thanks for calling, buddy.
All right.
Cheers, fella. Tatty bye. That's the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. Getting a kid to do a bit of a tattoo. I thought it was going to be a drawing. He wants it with the needle.
7-year-old.
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. This is Talk Radio. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio. And the Who are playing a concert. I got excited. Wembley Stadium. I'm not going to go to the stadium.
Why?
I don't like stadium gigs. I'm not a sucker.
I'm drawing the line.
I went to one stadium gig to see the Eagles and it was awful. It was just lousy, mainly because it was the Eagles. But no, so that's going to teach them, that'll teach them a lesson. Yeah.
Roger will be out there and go, hello, look. Oh, where's Ian Lee?
He's American, is he?
Well, he talks like that
hello,
a bit.
Hello, London. Hello, Brexit. I voted Brexit. Screw you guys.
Where's Ian Lee?
Ian Lee? Brexit.
Also, he's a very tiny man, so no one's going to see very much at all.
Dear. Richard's on the line. Good evening, Richard.
Hi, you all right?
All right, Richard.
It's safe, mate.
It's safe. There we go. There we go. We're in.
I've got a question for you.
Okay, and I might have an answer for you, if you're lucky.
Right, in 1992, what was your favourite rave DJ?
My favourite rave DJ in 1982, when I was...
1992.
It was Frankie Knuckles.
Yeah, what about Slipmat?
Sorry?
Slipmat.
Slipmat?
Yeah.
What, in your shower?
Flip Mat, Top Buzz.
Slip.
Groove Rider.
No. Flip Mat and Chip Buzz. What? Flip Mat and Chip Buzz.
Top Buzz.
Top Buzz? I didn't like Top Buzz.
Do you like Top Buzz? Brilliant, they are.
No, I'm not really a fan of Top Buzz. I just thought he changed the records a little bit too slowly. I saw him once do a gig and he put it on. He put a 45 on, but he played it at 33. It totally killed the vibe. It killed the vibe like nobody's business.
Like Master Chef.
I like Master Chef.
Master Chef, brilliant.
Master Chef is better, although I preferred it when it was hosted by Lloyd Grossman and it was a competition.
Isn't it? It makes sauce now.
It does make
sauce. Anyone can be a Master Chef.
Nathan Lloyd.
Sorry?
Everybody else, make some noise.
Everybody make some noise. All right, Richard. I think maybe you took too many of those disco biscuits back in the day.
No, no, I didn't do that. No, no, no.
You sure?
Never, never.
Thank you very much for your call.
The voice of the 90s there.
Guys, don't do drugs. Don't do drugs in the 90s and don't do drugs repeatedly in the 90s. When it's time to stop, stop. Let's see if Nigel's feeling any better. He had the lurgy on Friday. He's still alive, which is a bonus, Nigel.
Oh, hi, guys.
Oi, oi, mate.
I've still got the flu.
Oh, mate, you sound lousy.
Yes, but I went to the doctors today and my temperature's gone.
Oh, that's good. Well, that means you're through the worst of it, I think, doesn't it?
He said I was improving.
Brilliant.
Apart from the swallow, well, I can swallow better now.
Oh.
I'm drinking soup.
Cheeky.
I had a dinner earlier.
Back to that fella in the street. Go on.
So I've been eating properly now.
That's it. You're going to start getting your strength back.
Yeah. And so I went to the doctors, and it's a good job I went because made a new girlfriend.
That was shocking.
Isn't she riddled with disease?
No, no.
Okay, that's good. She nurse.
She was at the surgery, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, she was all right. She looked healthy enough.
Okay.
They always do.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Two children of seven, and I think one of those was ill.
Okay, well, good. As long as she was fit.
Yeah, she looks like Lindsay Lohan, by the way. Ever so attractive.
Okay, well that's
She likes to clean my house. She's single.
Yes.
And she's coming to clean my dust around my house to help me with some of the things, you know, dusting.
Wow.
Is she a cleaner then, or just a kind person?
No, she wants to be friends as well, you know, and her mother wants to. Her mother's got to know me as well, her mum.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So I've got company now.
Were they all at the doctors?
Pardon?
Were they all at the doctors?
Yes, yes.
Oh, right.
Do be careful, just, you know, inviting strangers round to your house. Just flag that up.
She's rather nice. She chatted me up when I went back to sit and wait for a spray, which I'm getting tomorrow, spray for my throat.
Yeah.
She come over and chatted me up again.
Well, it's
of course,
one of
I
two
showed
things.
Her a video of my mum in hospital and told her that my mum died.
Okay. Well, then let's hope that she. Here's what I'm erring on, that she is a kind angel who wants to help people. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm believing.
But she also wants some a job cleaning as well.
Ah.
You know, right. Yeah. Well, does she know you haven't got any money?
No, she never mentioned money, but she doesn't have to do anything.
She mentioned cleaning, and she mentioned cleaning, and she mentioned she wants a job cleaning. And
wasn't just it. She said she was still coming to have a cup of tea, even without any money.
Okay, well then let's.
Her mum drives her around, you see.
Okay, well let's.
Let's hope she's sincere.
Let's hope she's sincere. Yes, that's a great phrase.
As Roger Moore would say. I can make these funny noises now I've got the flu.
Someone just hacked our phone call. We said Roger Moore on there.
Roger Moore. I'm Roger Moore. Does it sound like Roger Moore?
Sounds like Alan Partridge.
Roger Moore's got the flu.
Roger Moore's got the flu.
Oh, Roger Moore's on the phone.
Hello.
He's got a bit of flu tonight.
Mum, Roger Moore's on the phone.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
I sound all right, Stallone.
Roger Moore and Sylvester Stallone on the phone.
Listen to this, Ian.
Yeah, go on.
When I laugh.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh, God, that went right in my ear.
Oh! Oh! No.
Cough it up, Nigel. There might be a piano.
No, thank you. Stop that.
Okay. Stop. You get these funny noises. I'm still very
chesty. Funny. No.
I'm still very chesty, Ian.
Well, okay.
How's George Gadaway? Have you met George Gadaway recently?
I met him on Friday.
Yeah, I used to be on his show a few years ago.
He's great, George. Love a bit of George.
He knows
George,
me very well.
Every Friday night, 7 till 10, you'll never hear a show like it.
No.
Okay.
No, I've still got the internet anyway to keep me.
Maybe you could sing a Barry White song for us.
I forget how they go now. What was the one?
Oh, baby, I want to be lovely.
No, the fast one.
I just feel that you won't have this voice forever. Maybe we should utilise it.
Yeah.
I don't think I can get it back now. I can't tonight. I'm worn out. I'm so tired.
Does life have to be so unfair?
Can you do?
Yeah.
I was born.
Oh yeah, I could do that one.
Go on then.
Should I do I was born? Yeah, I was born. I could do that
one. Flipping heck. That's a whole step down. Yeah, go on.
I was born on a Sunday afternoon. I was born and I fell out my cot. So I was born.
I've got a feeling he doesn't know the song.
Had a shit on the carpet.
Hey, Nigel!
There's shit on the carpet.
I had a shit.
Come on now, please.
What have you got, rudolitis?
All right, Nigel, thanks for calling, man. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, I think he said it was... he wouldn't give me antibiotics.
Good.
No.
Well, I wanted them, but he said you don't have to have them.
No, he's done the right thing. Antibiotics are killing this planet. And they probably wouldn't... You don't give antibiotics for the flu anyway.
Well, he said it would take a week or two to get better.
Yeah, well, that's life.
I hope it gets better before that girl turns up.
Yes, you know? Man.
So I've got more energy.
To sit with her and make her a cup of tea, yeah?
No, for the other thing, you know.
No, come on, man.
In case she wants to do the other thing.
She won't.
Listen,
she's not going to want to have sex with you, man. That's the.
You don't know, do you?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, she's only 30. I said I was too old for her.
Yeah, you are.
But she still wants to be friends.
Okay, well, let's just hope she's not there to exploit you and steal all of your equipment.
I can't understand her keep chatting me up, but never mind.
No, I'm suspicious.
So perhaps she's after me money.
She might be, though, man. This is my concern.
Is
she might be.
It's a problem when they know someone's lost it, somebody.
We're getting there. Yes, it can be. When they see someone who's vulnerable because they're on their own, people can come and take advantage of that.
That's true, yeah. I didn't tell her where I lived. No. You know, she asked me where do you live.
So how's she going to... When's she coming round, then?
She's going to call me, but I didn't want to tell her where I live straight away.
I'd be very, very careful inviting strangers round.
I don't know who she is.
No, and you don't know. I mean, she's a good soul. I don't know.
Her husband left her, so...
Yeah, the sex isn't a thing, really. I feel very protective of you, Nigel. I know you don't...
No, I'm thinking, why did her husband leave her so quickly after 7 years?
Well, who knows why marriages break down?
Mm.
We don't know.
OK, I've got to go, Ian.
OK.
I'm very tired.
All right, bye. Let's go to another Nigel. Good evening, Nigel.
Good evening. Well, I sincerely hope that Nigel becomes better soon. He doesn't sound at all well. But
well, he's a lot better than he was Friday, so that's something. He's going in the right direction.
Well, that's good. But what an amazing doctor surgery. You go with a sore throat and come up with a wife, mother-in-law and two kids. It's astonishing.
He's got a family.
Yeah. I mean, can you really get that other national health?
You can, but I'm afraid after Brexit, you won't be able to anymore. So you guys have voted Brexit. You ruined this. You ruined the NHS family giveaways. Outrageous.
So it's time to give away on a Friday. Well, what do we get on a Monday if you go to that surgery?
You get a boot up the arse and you bus fare home.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, these are crazy days. Nigel, what can we do for you this evening?
I just rang about Nigel. You know, I was prompted to ring. He sounded vulnerable, and I think he made the right call. But being very careful if he gives his address out for these people, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I think it would be fair to say, and we can speak with respect, but Nigel doesn't actually listen to the show, so we can speak freely, but still respect the fact that he's a human being.
Of course.
Yeah, he is. He's obviously vulnerable. And the stories that he phones, and we have a laugh with him, and he's singing, you know, he's quite a good singer, and we have a bit of fun with that, and that's all great. But the story over the last, I don't know, 6-8 months since his mum got ill, it really is. Me and Catherine are both very, very concerned about, you know, a vulnerable man who obviously, you know, who obviously sees the world differently from everybody else, shall we say, inviting homeless people into his house, strangers into his house. I worry about him, man.
He's a very romantic soul.
And he's horny.
Yes.
but here's the thing, Nigel, because there's nothing we can do about it. You know, I can't phone the council up. I can't
Sure.
There's nothing I can do. It's not as if... He's with it enough that we can't get involved and try and sort things out for him. But he's also out of it enough that he doesn't listen to any suggestions that we make. And it worries me quite a lot. It does worry me a lot.
He's obviously very, very close to his mother. Because when my mother passed away, it was really difficult. And, you know, and
you go through unusual sort of emotions, but he sounds like a real nice guy, and I hope things work out for him, you know?
Well, you're a good man, Nigel, and I know that nearly everybody listening is rooting for him, and everyone enjoys his calls, and everyone has a little bit of a chuckle and stuff, and that's cool. But I think everyone's rooting, you know, we can hear a vulnerable soul who's a bit lost and lonely, and we've all got our fingers crossed.
Exactly.
Thank you, Nigel.
I look forward to his LP coming out very, very soon.
Oh, dear God, please don't. Nigel, thank you. It's a worry, isn't it? And we've talked about this a little bit on air, not much on air. We've talked about it more off air. What can you do? It's not like Jerry phoning up, he's on the floor. OK, we've got a situation where there is an obvious problem we can sort out. We phone up the care and home, also, we get him on.
And also
up.
Jerry wants our help. Yeah. I can verbalise
yes.
that.
Yes. It's not like Chris who phoned up, who, you know, took the overdose before Christmas, where, there's a problem, and there's an immediate problem. There's a guy who's taken an overdose. We can get help to him. This is much more fluid. It's vaguer. Nigel from Maidstone has kind of shunned any advice we give him. He just doesn't hear the whole thing of him talking to Miley Cyrus and Kylie Minogue on Skype. And obviously he hasn't. But you say that to him, and he would get very upset, angry sometimes. Put
or
the
then
phone
just
down.
Say it doesn't really matter anyway, does it? No, never mind, and changes the subject.
Yeah, and without his mum there to kind of, you know, steer him, oversee him and protect him to a certain extent. That's a vulnerable member of society living on his own. You know, I don't mean this is an insult, but that is like a kid in a grown-up's body, in a grown-up's world, in a grown-up's house, having to deal with all the stuff that grown-ups deal with. And he hasn't got any grown-ups. He's a kid.
And I think the most shocking thing was, because we had a laugh and a joke with him, but when we realised that he had to ask his mum what date Christmas was, that's when we realised, hang on.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was maybe a couple of years ago we kind of stumbled across that. So, and, you know, by the way, don't tweet us, you should do this, you could do this, you could... We've thought about this long and hard, and all we feel comfortable doing at the moment is kind of watching from a distance when he phones up, having a laugh with him, and not at him, and just reminding him what we can remind him. It doesn't go in, but we can do that.
Gentle nudges are appropriate. You know.
Don't tweet me either, because my Twitter's gone. I'm loving it. I am loving it. Now, I think it's 2 weeks I've not had Twitter. Of course, I'm searching my name on another Twitter account I have, which is separate. But I want to stop that. That's the next thing. But not having Twitter, man alive, Twitter for me personally, I can't speak for you, but I'm not healthy on there. You know, I indulge in unhealthy behaviour. It brings out the worst in me. And I see it bring out the worst in other people as well. I also see it bring out some great stuff as well. I'm not going to, you know, completely deny it. But just having the freedom of, I don't have to tweet this funny thought I've had. I put it in the show, or I send it to you, Kath. Mm-hmm. Or I phone my kids up and say it. I don't have to tweet this thing. I'm not getting angry because I'm not looking at people's Twitter feeds or tweeting about Trump and Brexit, and I'm not getting angry about any of that stuff, because it's not, you know, people that I was following who I think are brilliant and amazing, but quite every now and then they tweet something about Trump or Brexit and I get angry and I'd want to get involved, and it's gone.
It's a very rare thing where people get involved in a Twitter conversation and it ends up with someone changing their mind.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I saw a really lovely thing, actually. You reminded me. You know the comedian, American comedian, Patton Oswalt?
Uh-huh.
I sort of read a little bit about it. So some guy, like, I don't know what the original tweet was, some guy just went for him. Like, called him a dick or whatever. He just went for Patton Oswalt. He's a funny guy, right? Funny comedian, and he's an actor. He's been in loads of stuff. And apparently, I only saw the aftermath, so I didn't see the confrontations. This guy went for him, really laid into him, and Patton Oswalt called him out, and he retweeted him and said, "Have a look at this jerk," and made some, you know, kind of roasted him a bit. Didn't see any of that, but then I kind of saw that it became a news story, because then a little bit later on, Patton Oswalt tweeted, "This guy sent me abuse earlier on, and I called him out for it." But then I checked his Twitter feed. And he's really, really ill. He's got kidney failure or something. Of course, in America, if you haven't got insurance, you can't get treatment. He said, "This guy's really, really ill."
and he's having a really lousy time. And he set up a GoFundMe for his medical thing. So I'm retweeting the link, and I've put... It turns out he put $2,000 in there himself, but I don't think he said that. He said, I've put a few quid in there, and I'm just retweeting this, you know, and the lesson I've learned is that if people are coming and have a go at me, that maybe there's a little bit of a backstory. And it became a big thing, and this guy made a load of money towards his medical treatment. I think he got enough money to get the treatment. And he kind of came back with his tail between his legs going, man, I'm humbled by this. I'm really sorry I laid into you and I wasn't thinking and I was ill and I was lashing out. And what you've done is amazing. And it's turned into this beautiful... And, of course, loads of Patton Oswalt's followers, you know, put in a few dollars here and there and helped out. That's amazing. That's an amazing... That can't be unique. That's pretty rare. That something like that turns around like that.
Yeah.
I was thrilled by that. I thought that was lovely.
I've kind of learnt to, when someone comes at me out of the blue on there...
Get lost!
No, I tend to look at their feeds first and work out whether or not it's worth taking seriously. Yeah. I got a nasty shock yesterday with one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a man who spends a lot of time...
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, looking at pictures of celebrities and doing his own designs on top of them.
Did he...
with his...
Is
fluids.
Yeah. Has he been suspended? Because I reported.
He has not been suspended.
He said the way we spoke to Raymond George was disgusting. And Kathy shut up and she's fit and he likes to masturbate over pictures of her. And it was horrible. Oh, it was horrible.
But he's not been suspended. He's had to take those down. But I mean, the rest of the stuff, photographs of largely young famous women with his
scumbag
splooge on. Apparently, that's fine.
Splooge.
Yeah, nice one, Twitter.
Okay, splooge, you say?
Yes.
Wow.
That was one that Katie Puckrick taught me.
That's something to think about, isn't it?
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hello, dear listener, 03444991000, The Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
Now, we're going to do something. I'm taking a punt here. The bosses are not... Excuse me, it's not your turn yet, Jerry. Calm down. What's going on? What's
long-lost family,
isn't it? Is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you see, where are your people from?
Mayo.
I'm from Sligo, you see. But you know how the Boyles and the old Boyles, do you know how it happens?
No, go on.
Because you took the soup.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, because what happened was in the time of the famine, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? There was the soup kitchens, yeah? So to anglicise the names, the hardcore Gaelic names, they offered them soup if they anglicised the name and dropped the O's in the max, yeah? So you took the soup, yeah.
So your family are sellouts?
I mean, sorry, we knew that already, didn't we?
Is that true?
You get
some soup if you anglicise.
Well, not now, obviously, but that's a long time ago.
Well, no, not now. They're still doing it.
Because I knew an O'Boyle, a friend of mine, but I just thought she was being fancy. I didn't realise
No,
she held out.
That's how it happens, yeah.
She held out.
We've got Jen and Jerry here. The reason you're here... is because you do another radio station.
Yeah.
And this is a weird one. And when I asked you to come on, you kind of said, are we allowed to come on and plug
Radio Inception?
If you were James O'Brien from LBC, I think we'd have...
I think
we'd have trouble getting away with that one, to be honest. But, your station is brilliant. It's... who wants to tell us what it is, first of all?
Do you want to... You start, Jerry.
Right. Jen is the brains behind. Jen runs the station. Oh. But how it happened was Jen had, first of all, the Boogaloo Pub, which is our pub.
That's in North London in Highgate. London, I used to live around there, South Lane. I used to drive past that a lot.
So, like, my history's in pubs and bars and bands, right? So I used to own a bar called Filthy McNasty's years ago, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Boogaloo then for the last 17 years. And so our history kind of like... ties us in with bands like Pogues, the Libertines, Joe Strummer, Lermers, lots of people. So we've a lot of heritage over the years, you know.
Yeah.
Which is lucky in a way for us. But Jen then was looking at doing some radio, and she did some online radio, and we've been watching the online radio, and it's starting to create some of a buzz, you know.
Yeah.
And...
I'm just getting your website up. I'm not
So we set it up, and so Jen said she wanted to do something, and she looked at other stations, and one day we were chatting, and we kind of roughly said, let's do it ourselves.
Yeah, we just kind of made it up, didn't we?
So this is a pub, and it's by Highgate Station, which is in North London, because we're in North National London, Station, so we can try and be as specific as we can. And I used to live near there, but I don't really go into pubs. But I've been in there a few times. I'm sure I saw Chrissy Hynde playing in there.
Yeah, once. She rocked up one Sunday, didn't she?
She played there 3 times. Yeah.
I think I was there for one of those.
Yeah, she played there loads. Well, lots of people have.
Yeah.
Lots of bands have done secret gigs there. Because over the years, it was kind of like it's become a place where people just turn up and things could happen. Like Chris Martin did at Coldplay.
Wow. Yeah,
tons. Wayne Kramer at MC5.
Glenn Matlock,
tons and tons.
Hang on a minute, we've had Wayne on the show. Love a bit of Wayne Kramer. Did he? He came and did a little gig there.
He came as to guest with a guy that was in from Memphis, who I can't remember now.
Wow,
long time ago. Bright Eyes did 2 shows there. Conor Oberst, and then you have tons of people drinking there. You know, so we've had Jack White, and we've had
Simon Pegg was a regular
Simon
there for a
Pegg,
while.
Frost. Simon Pegg, Ryan Adams, Binen, all those guys, and you've had Phil Daniels.
Why is it
Johnny Vegas? Yeah,
we'll get,
tons
we'll
and tons.
Get onto the radio in a minute. That's what you're in for, is radio. But this is it. Why do so many celebs, let's call them that, come and have a drink there? What is it about? Because it's not a particularly central location.
No, I don't. The thing about it is, I suppose that's why we're doing the radio, is that I don't think, so a lot of those people we mentioned there, they're not really celebs. They're well-known people. They might be very famous people, but they're not celebs.
You're right.
They're
in the modern sense of the word.
They're very much characters and they're talented artists. People, yeah, they're artists, yeah. And I think what I started in Filthies and what followed through with the Boogaloo is in Filthies we developed what we call a literary salon.
Oh.
So you'd have a lot of writers hanging out, you know?
Yeah.
So we had writers doing readings twice a week in Filthies. So we did shows with everyone from James Ellroy to who wrote LA Confidential to Ken Kesey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 3 times actually with him.
Flipping, what was he like?
Amazing guy.
Incredible.
Yeah. Him and Ken Babbs. Ken Babbs was the guy, his sidekick, and they had the magic bus, you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever read Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test?
I think I started it. I never quite finished it.
Yeah, it's at the beginning of the Summer of Love in the 60s where that whole thing exploded. This was like the first big house movement. And he was a pillhead. He was into acid and all that. He was dropped out of college and he was hanging out in Hyde Ashbury and he developed this scene. And he was on the bus with these guys and they had this crazy bus. They were merry pranksters and they dropped acid and people jumped on the bus and took acid with them. Then they did shows and whatever. Then the book became a huge hit and all that. He lived as a recluse in Portland, Oregon for a long, long time after that. But he was an amazing guy.
But then how would you get someone like that and Ken Kesey and James, how would you get them? Where was Filthy? Was that in Kilburn? That wasn't.
No,
Kilburn,
that was in
it?
Islington. At the Angel. Yeah.
How would you get them? Would you phone up and try and book them?
Well, no, we had to book them. Yeah. We've been booking people like that for years.
Yeah.
I did that with Richard Thomas, as a concert promoter. The two of us joined up 25 years ago to do literary shows, and we basically rang up Pat McCabe, who wrote The Butcher Boy. I heard he was living in Kilburn. And basically I met a guy in the pub who knew someone who knew him, and then I got him to do the first show, and then went to all the publishers and they didn't want anything to do with us at the time. They said they didn't really trust the idea of writers coming doing readings in pubs, you know. So I said, we'd done McCabe and we're about to get someone else. We got I forget who the next one was. Howard Marks, Mr. Nice.
Yeah, of course.
And we launched Howard.
Lovely Howard.
His publisher was Jeff Mulligan, so I knew Jeff, and then that's how that happened, and then publishers then started bringing writers to us.
Right, once they saw it was working.
So snowballed. So we have a long history of that. So then when we came to the Boogaloo, it was more of that. And, you know, Shane McGowan was an old friend of mine, and he was living there, and Pete Doherty's a poet as well. And so you had a lot of writers and poets around. So a lot of those people we talked about there, they're artists. They're definitely artists. They were there for more than... It wasn't a celeb thing that they wanted to have their picture taken, because we wouldn't have that. But it was... It's very much an arty thing. The radio is steeped in that. And that's... So Jen was saying one day about her frustration about some of the jobs in the online radio sector. And we've just said, why don't we just make our own station?
Jen, how did you get involved with Jerry? And how did the idea of a radio station come up? And honestly, dear listener, this is an amazing radio station. They wouldn't be here otherwise. We're going to Boogaloo, theboogaloo.co.uk. Is that the place to go?
The website for the radio station is
boogaloo.com.
And if you're on laptop or desktop, you can watch the studio live as well. Which is quite cool.
Lucas watching Alan McGee a little bit.
Yeah,
they have some amazing people. We're going to go tell you who they have on there in a bit.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Go on. So, how did you get involved?
So, like Jerry was saying, I live very close to the pub, and I was working there, and I was before that working in Soho in advertising, but always wanted to get into presenting, and then gave it a punt. And did work in online radio for a little bit, and I was just really excited about this thing that you could do, and anyone around the world could tune in.
It's How long ago was this? You kind
about
of got
3 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
That was less.
Yeah. Less than 2 years? Yeah, two and a half years ago, yeah. Where I was still working in radio, and then, then talking to Jerry with the history of the pub and stuff like that, we kind of put our heads together and thought, you know, if we had our own online radio station, then it would be quite magical with all these names and the history and all the rest of it. So I think at the moment we have all this history, like you've been listening to Jerry talk about, you know, Filthies and all the artists associated with that. And then thinking about the future as well, the future sound of London, indie scene, the alternative scene, the online radio scene. And how does that kind of...
So how the basics, right? Because we do this show, and this is all set up for us, right? And Catherine and I podcast and stuff. And you know, right, technology now is amazing. You can go anywhere and broadcast from a laptop if you want. I've been to your place. It's a proper setup. Mm-hmm. The floor is wonky. Apart from that, though, the floor's at an angle. And it's very... When I was on there with Luke Haynes, he has it very cleverly set up. So he's at the top of the slope on a big chair.
Beautiful.
And you're kind of like just sat down in a very low chair, sloping backwards.
You were nearly halfway down Archery Road by the end of the show.
Incredible scenes. Yeah. The things we do for Luke. But so how did you go about converting that shed a studio?
It's evolved, hasn't it?
That was the bin shed.
It was the bin shed.
Yeah, was it really?
Yeah, that was full of bins. Yeah, yeah. So when we started the radio, Jin just set it up on the laptop.
Yeah, so it's every month I'd say like something's added to it, something's been taken away.
That was a bin shed, and then we'd turn into a little lounge called... True Romance.
Alabama's.
Alabama's.
It was called Alabama's.
Which I loved as my idea. And then the radio was evolving. So the radio was starting to evolve off the laptop. We needed more space. So I reluctantly let the radio start in Alabama's in a...
It's quite an emotional...
It was emotional.
Departure from Alabama's.
It was in a
cupboard for a long time.
So we made a cupboard, and we used to put the radio away every night. Yeah. So it's a big cupboard, like the size
we had,
of that.
Yeah, we had a 4-channel mixer, which I thought was the most high-tech thing I've ever seen in my life. And we packed it down every night,
and unpacked it again when we had people in.
Who did were you doing the first show?
Yeah, so originally we did... So before Alabama's, I just did a radio show in the pub, just on a USB mic and my laptop.
Yeah. While the pub was open?
Yeah. And then...
So it had all the pub noise in the background.
Yeah.
We got that on the radio now. Yeah.
So that was like the first bit. And then it moved to the cupboard and the bin shed. And then gradually, I mean, we got a ceiling last year. That was exciting.
Well, then I let Alabama's idea go. And then we turned the whole room into the radio station. Mm-hmm. But that used to hold like 6 bins.
Yeah.
Like big bins, skip bins. So we... Just had to get rid of all that.
Now I see why the floor was wonky, so you could roll them out. Roll them
in. Yeah, exactly.
Now she
used
to roll out lazy guests.
Yes.
Yeah. Genuinely.
How do you get Luke? I love Luke Haynes. We love Luke Haynes on this show. Luke is probably listening to this show, stealing ideas from it, because that's what he does. Anything he's done on your radio station, he's nicked from me. Luke was supposed to come in one night and be the house band and play theme tunes for all of the callers. And then what happened?
Baby.
Had a baby.
Ruined it.
Yeah. How rude.
So selfish. Well, how did you get Haynes involved?
So he was a guest on Bernard Butler's show.
Right.
Bernard Butler used to be in Suede, producer.
Do we need to say that? Yeah. Yeah, everyone knows Bernard Butler, don't they?
Well, he does a show called BB and the King with his mate Mark Kingston every Thursday, every Friday, 3 till 5. And that's really popular. And Luke was a guest on Bernard's show. And Luke loved it, and so we offered him a show. And he now plays the cowbell on every single show. So if you want to listen to that, that's every Tuesday, 1 till 2 till 4.
Who was the first name presenter that you had? Was it Bernard Butler?
I think it Bernard,
probably.
Bernard.
It was.
And what
was
the conversation to get him?
Bernard was. I know Bernard for years. Come into the pub, so just emailed Bernard asking to be interested. And he came and he chatted us, and very thankfully he jumped on board. Yeah. You know, but then we've had people like Dave Robinson who did Stiff Records. He came on board. So next up, that was Shane.
Shane McGowan did it.
We did a show with Shane, which is a genius show. It's on Mixcloud. On our Mixcloud. Yeah. And we're going to do more with him. So it was.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So it was is him choosing his favourite music.
Yeah.
So, and talking about everything. So it was like having a drink with him, because it was a
stream of consciousness.
2-hour conversation about something that happened when he heard this song, and then went on to something else. And there's stuff in it about where he met the Blessed Virgin, and there's different things, different stories went through the whole show, you know.
This is all coming from a bin shed at the back of your pub.
Yeah, but you don't
it's
need
incredible.
It. But that's, you see, the thing about radio, we don't know anything about radio.
No.
We know nothing about it. You know, we just made it up.
Yeah.
So we're very naive, really, you know, because.
I think that's the best way to
well,
be.
Well, we need
with
to
a
be.
Lot of
we
our...
need to be very quite mad to do this because we've set it up ourselves. We don't have any sponsorship. We will do one day. But right now we don't. We're building the content and building the profile. And what we do have is great content. We know it. And the thing about pubs are communities, as everyone knows. And, you know, you live and die in pubs and you meet people and they fall in love and things go through life and they always come back to the pub. And, you know, it's a community. So we are developing, and what we've talked about and what we're trying to do with this is not worry about learning how other radio stations work, but running the radio station like we'd run the pub. So
perfect.
We're creating, on the shows, in between shows, there's little ident drops. Yes. Yeah. And it's basically, Jin interviewed me going back, like all over the years, stories about who got barred, what happened when McGowan took in the beer order, stuff like that, you know? And you just go through loads and loads of anecdotes, like 50 anecdotes, and they're cut in between shows. So some guy's driving a car in New Jersey and he's listening to Boogaloo Radio. He's under no illusion that's a pub. And then you find your local, and then you find likes of Alan McGee and Luke Haynes and all these guys, and then you realise, it's a great station.
Well, steady, whoa, you go. Well,
I didn't know that. I thought we were allowed to curse here.
We're not Boogaloo Radio. You can't F and Jeff here. I've got a little magic. You can't curse here.
You can't F.
Sorry about that.
Yes, that's all right. Don't worry. I've got a little magic button. Don't do it too often because it stops working after a while.
No, I won't do that.
That's all right. Don't worry.
I think everyone's like us. But anyways, so like you realise we're trying to create a local so that people who listen in become regulars.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's like...
But Shane McGowan doing a 2-hour show where he plays his favourite records and talks about, you know, when this and this and this, that is the kind of stuff that you would expect, you know, Six Music, a big, big station.
That's Hunter S. Thompson stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different league of madness.
Oh, exactly, but you would expect that they would be all over that. But the fact that it's, I would say, hidden
away...
Well,
the thing about Six Music and that and these guys is David Soule does a show for us every Sunday.
I was going to get onto that.
Right? And, you know, Shane and David Soule, and these guys are mavericks, Alan McGee, they're mavericks, you know. They're mavericks. These are people who created amazing work. So David Soule was like Bieber in his time. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks huge, you know. Shane is probably the greatest living poet alive right now, an Irish poet, you know. McGee's signed some of the best bands ever.
Oh God,
you know?
He changed music history.
John Leckie's starting next month, and he produced Benz, he produced George Harrison, My Sweet Lord,
Muse,
and Two Stone Roses.
Yeah.
So like,
it's not bad.
And I think I read a lot of other stuff he did too.
He's done some amazing stuff,
right? So these guys are all mavericks, you know. So they're not exactly Radio 6 friendly, maybe. I don't know. But maybe Radio 6 don't know how to deal with them.
They'd
pack
their pants, wouldn't they?
They would, you know.
I think I know the answer to this, Jim, but why do they do it? Why does John Leckie, why does Alan McGee, when you say, come and do a radio show, they go, yeah, all right. Because I'm guessing no one's getting rich out of this.
No.
No.
Why do you think that you've got an amazing roster?
It's punk, isn't it? It's kind of guerrilla. It's, I think a lot of them do it because these people are successful because they never really did what they became known for the money, really. Yeah. It was more to be part of something, to create a movement. And I think this reminds them of that more than if they were to do maybe a more commercial radio station, yeah, or some brand pays them whatever to do whatever. Yeah, that's the kind of feedback I get from them, that they love. I mean, they've got total freedom over their playlist. Yeah. We don't have any say in what they play. We've got no say in what they say, which is...
Has anyone ever gone too far and you've gone, maybe just reel that in?
Some unradio-friendly versions of certain hip-hop tracks at 9 o'clock in the morning, I was a bit sceptical about. But apart from that, no. I mean, and also...
You've had Run DMC in.
Yeah, we had Daryl, the DMC of Run DMC on...
It's insane. We've got Matthew Wright. You know what I mean?
But we've got a fridge there. They can have their own, they can drink on air.
They get drunk on air. It's great. It's sort of,
Are we allowed to mention a sponsor? No. Oh, yeah? Asahi, yeah.
Thanks, Asahi, for all of it. You keep us happy. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very loose format, and I think they're attracted to it because I don't think rock and roll exists that much anymore.
No.
Everything's, like, orchestrated or very contrived. It's sort of, like, forced... punk, yeah, which isn't punk. So I think we might be the only thing that exists at the moment in
it's
the
like
music 50s industry.
Quite... American radio, that's how kind of it all started, you know. And the radio presenters had a lot of sway, you know, especially those old first rock and roll acts and the country acts. So they would go to meet, the presenter would choose who was going to be on air, Hank Williams or Elvis or whoever, right, and come to see them. Before production became a big part of radio, so it's going back to that. So, like, we're saying it's all about trust. This whole thing is like trust. It's like Uber for radio with us, you know? Because the people who listen in will just keep coming back. They'll tell their friends, they'll tell their friends.
Well,
they'll trust
us.
There's
no way. Everything is so safe. I remember when XFM started, man alive, when XFM first started.
I remember that,
20 years ago, probably even longer. What a station, because they didn't know what they were doing.
No.
And of course,
it was great.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. You turn on, you didn't know. I did a couple of shifts there, but you turn on, you didn't know what you're going to get. Just all this music, and a lot of it was awful, but then there'll be something amazing. But it was great, the awful music, as you know, is one thing that could get played. Anything went. And then, of course, they realised that they weren't getting an audience, and so they kind of became Capital Rock.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's like playing Coldplay.
And then music being chosen through Focus Group and by a computer.
XFM did that thing once. It was just after I left, where it was big in America for a bit, and then they realised it didn't work, where they would have a breakfast show and they would have a drive time show, but the daytime was automated. Yeah. So they got rid of presenters. Tony Blackburn, right? I love Tony Blackburn, and he did a brilliant tweet the other day. Whatever you may think of him, he said, when we did pirate radio, we didn't go out and sit on a ship for 3 months to play the same 300 songs on rotation. We went out there to be personalities and to play whatever music we wanted to play and excite people about music. And which is kind of the vibe.
It's exactly the same vibe. And one of those guys who did Radio Luxembourg first, there's one of those guys is after starting an online station. He was a contemporary of Tony Blackburn.
Yeah.
So come back to me in a second. But yeah, so what happened was, you know, there's a few of them in London, but there's a couple in New York that are inspiring. There's a scene in New York at online stations. There's one called Lot Radio where they've dropped a shipping container in a disused parking lot. And I find them very inspiring because these guys are guerrillas.
Who is this? I'm going to jot...
It's called The Lot Radio, L-O-T. Yeah. A lot is in parking lot.
Yeah.
It's busy.
And you can go and sit and hang out.
Yeah. So
we're big friends of WFMU. In New York, which is another kind of...
I don't know. I must check them out. I'm there on Friday. Yeah.
It's great. And just their shows are insane, man. They've got everything. And I can't remember the name of our friend from there. It'll come to me in a minute. Oh, Amanda Nazario.
Yeah.
She just plays whatever she wants to play.
It's a music and talk, yeah.
Music and talk, primarily music.
Her show's called The Nazario Scenario.
Yeah, and I've never heard anything like it, you know.
No, check it out.
There's a lot of that in New York.
Yeah, so these guys dropped a shipping container in a parking lot, a disused parking lot, and they half the shipping container is radio. There's no seats. You thought we were bad. They've got no seats at all, right? Right. They have no seats. Everyone stands up. And the other half is a coffee dock. So they sell coffee and croissants out the window, right? And across the road is a church called San Damiano's Mission. And they're friends of mine. And the monks, they're Franciscan monks. The monks did a deal with the radio station that they'd give them free, they'd give them the water and they'll give them the electricity, and the monks get coffee and croissants for life.
Wonderful.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how I first met them was I was in the station one day. I was sitting outside having a coffee because they have a little, like, it's like a beer garden, just seats hanging around outside.
I've got a live video stream of them now. They're screening Charlie in the Chocolate Factory for some reason.
I saw this monk inside the station, you know, inside the porter cabin, you know. So he came out and I said, are you a real priest, man? He goes, yeah. His name. I said, would you mind saying a mass for me, you know? So I gave him a few quid and he said, I'll come over, right? So I was just checking. So we went over to the church and started chatting. He'd become a great friend of mine, Father Nick. And they're all monks and they love the radio. They love the guerrilla style of what they've done. So what these guys have done now is they've created a whole community there. But Lot Radio is big. It's big in New York. It's very well known. But not alone that, there's Newtown Radio. There's like, what's the other one, Jen?
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn, yeah. And there's a ton of them whapping up everywhere, right? And there's another one I saw today in Jersey called Breakthrough Radio. So it's a movement. It's like punk.
Yeah. It's a scene, isn't it?
People are doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. They're breaking out there. When broadband and Wi-Fi gets a more advanced, probably Wi-Fi 7 or something, when you can just get it in the car, anything you want in the car, that's when I think it'll all change. Mm-hmm. And then people will pick up a lot more of these stations in the cars. And most people listen to the radio in the car or at work, don't they, you know?
I'm watching thelotradio.com if you want to go and have a look. Let's have a quick break. Then you stick around for a little bit longer and we'll give the station a proper plug. I want to find out about David Soul. Yeah. This is 03444991000. This is Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. We've got Jen and Jerry from Boogaloo Radio. This is The Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So there's this crappy show in America called Keith and the Girls. Trash. And I've made the mistake of being on there twice. Kath's only been on there once.
I've been on it twice. I phoned up, didn't I?
Phoned up. So you were. That's like saying Rainbow George is on the show.
No, they asked me to phone.
No, they
did. I was
didn't.
A guest.
No, you weren't a guest, though. That's like saying Rainbow George is a guest, and we know he isn't. By the way, George left me a nice Facebook message today. I've got no beef with George. People think I've got beef. I've got no beef with him. I'm enjoying the tension. I'm enjoying the combative nature of the show. It's all theatre. It's all a play. Speaking of plays, I'm going to become an actor. I'm jacking this in. I'm going to become an actor. I've got an acting agent. And I have to... What you do is you don't do auditions now as actors. You film yourself doing the acting. And then you send it off to the casting director. And they go, oh, yeah, this guy's great. He's going to make him in a movie, put him in a movie.
Right.
So I have got to, in the next couple of days, I've got to film what we call in the business, the biz... three sides.
Okay.
That's what we call three sides.
Why is it called a side?
Sorry?
Why is it called that and not a scene?
Well, it's just what it's called.
Do you know why?
So I've got to do that. So I've got to film that. So tonight, later on, if you're lucky, dear listener, and there's two things. You've got to be, A, you've got to be lucky, and B, we've got to have really, really run out of material... You know, by about like 25 minutes before, you might get to hear me rehearsing acting.
Will you need someone to play off?
Hmm?
Because I think I could.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is how I'm
Sam,
get
would you be able to help? Would you be able to help with the acting I'm going to be doing later on?
Yeah, of course.
Nice one, man. Thank you. So that's going to be fun. Right, but they're these scumbags in America, Keith and Hendon. I've been a guest on their show twice. Kath was a guest on their show once by accident. It's only because she rocked up with me and they mistakenly left two seats out, and so she sat in one and they were too embarrassed to tell her to move.
They totally like me better.
And then I was a guest on my own, solo, because they said, come back and come back.
And they called me.
Come back and ditch the dead weight. The ladies. John in Highbury, you're never getting on the show again, you muppet. So I was on there and I thought we were like friends and stuff like that. And I gave them money towards their pledge drive and stuff.
I've got their mobile phone numbers. So.
Tell me what they did. They had an award ceremony.
Yeah, they had an award ceremony and it was a kind of rundown of the year, best bits of the year. And they had nominees for various things like best drunk
person, and that was won by a man who rings up at 2 o'clock in the morning and leaves messages for Hemda. Actually, for Keith, talking about how what he'd like to do to Hemda. And so he won that. And then there was one for, I don't know, Best Newcomer or whatever, which you, of course, couldn't win because you went there the year before.
Yep.
And then there was one for Silent Movie Trailers, which is a game they play on Facebook after each of their shows goes out. And Hemda's not very good at films, and she has to describe what she's seeing. And Keith sees every film in the world because he's got one of those like movie passes. And so it was him versus you.
Movie pass. I mean, what a sad
USA
sack.
Versus the UK.
And I won, and then I should have won an award for best, like, guest.
But
and then I didn't.
Won it. They
didn't
thought they? Someone else was better.
So screw
at
those
it.
A-holes. Never going to go on their show again. Let's phone America. Okay, hover the dump button because I'm phoning Keith.
Hi, thanks for the call. Leave a number or a message. I'll get right back to you. Bye.
Hey, Keith, buddy. It's your old buddy Sal from Sal's Diner. I just want to say, I think you're the biggest piece of trash ever. You're a digweed and you're an a-hole and you're a butt munch. And I just think that you suck. And I hope that some really bad stuff happens to you, man. Because you're an a-hole. And I hate you, man. I hate you so much right now. What's the song? Oh,
Ian, how's he going to know to call you back?
He won't. He's just going to think it's a random.
Oh, just abuse.
Yes, yes.
All right,
yes.
Now I dare you to try that crap with Hemda.
I've not got a problem with that. Right, not got a problem. Their crappy show, which you should never listen to, and this isn't me even doing reverse psychology, this is me doing psychology. It's Keith and the Girl. So if that pops up in your feed as recommended, then...
It's my actual favourite.
Disrecommend it. My favourite is the Chris Warburton podcast, but he's not coming on the show tonight because Nikki Campbell has got kidney stones. Oh, yeah. Hey, is that Hemda?
This, yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Sal from Sal's Diner, downtown New York City. How you doing, baby?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Hemda. I'm doing great. Been loving the Keith and the Girl podcast recently. Great stuff, man. I got one problem. I got one problem about your podcasts.
Okay.
Right? My good buddy from the United Kingdom, Ian Lee, should have won that crappy competition that you're doing, and I hear that he came a runner up. What the hell is this? This is bullshit.
Oh, I know. I think we should murder Mateo, who got, honestly, just like maybe 2 dozen more views.
Well,
think he didn't earn
him
it.
I got a surprise for you. This is Ian Lee. You're on the radio, so don't you dare swear. Catherine is here, and Catherine is as angry with you as I'm fuming.
I'm not. I can completely see why you chose Mateo.
Shut
He's wonderful.
Up, man. You're supposed to be... We're a team. Keith will be backing her up. She'll be backing Keith up. You back me up.
What? You said I was a hanger-on.
What the hell happened, Hemda? Why the hell did I not win? What is this? My dreams have been dashed again by you.
I know. I was really mad, too. I really think that you should come back and maybe have Kath with you. I think you'd do
yes!
a better job.
Yes!
Well,
yes!
Okay. Here's okay. I'm
completely up for that.
Okay, fine. Well, you can pay for it this time, then. Fine. okay. I'm going to be honest. I was disappointed, and Kath thought it was funny. Kath came in going, oh, you didn't win the thing. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks for telling me. Like that.
Yeah, but you've got a mention. That's nice, isn't it?
No, a mention's nothing.
Yeah.
As we know from watching that cat competition documentary on Netflix, no one remembers second.
Oh, yeah.
No one remembers second. They remember first. What? No one remembers second.
What was that white cat called? Bobby.
There we go.
He's no ooh la la.
How are you guys?
But can I tell you, you are the number one Brooklyn accent guy in my heart.
Yes!
In the Hemda Heart Awards... My Brooklyn accent. Can I ask you, right? Because you do live in America. I think you are American, actually. That was like a really good accent for the character I'm working on called Sal from Sal's Diner. You bought that, didn't you?
Totally. You could hear it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't believe when I get a call like that. It's just like oh my God, a cop from Brooklyn and I'm in Queens?
Is that Keith? Is Keith in the background?
Yes,
oh,
he is.
Hey.
What a dick.
This is Keith.
Keith is honestly.
This is Keith, I'm over here.
I can't wait for Hendra to go solo because that guy is. I've got no idea what his guy does. Sorry?
He's just trying to compete with your accent, but honestly, like, you are a native through and through.
Thank you. Thank you so much, indeed. How's your... I've just told all of my listeners to stop listening to your show, so so there's going to be a huge boycott of your online feed.
Yeah, you'll notice a huge dip in the figures from the United Kingdom, and it's all Ian's fault.
Yeah, because I'm very powerful, as you know. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. A lot of TV shows that have kind of dried up recently, yeah. But that's fine. That's because they're the big one's coming. The big one is coming!
Of course it is.
I'm so glad. I've been wanting to stop podcasting, so thanks for giving me an excuse.
Can I ask, I need to ask Keith what his opinion is on the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, please.
You know, it's horrid. It's horrible. It's a non-story. It's cut out lies. They did not break up before that concert. He was diagnosed with AIDS after the concert. They just make things up, and I don't know why they didn't make him fly, because who cares?
Here we go. This is the first time we're going to agree on a film. I didn't even get that far in the film. I had to turn off my... I had to walk out of the cinema. I was in a cinema, obviously. It's not available to watch at home yet. Because it was so boring. But here's the thing that it was just dull. It was a really, really dull, crappy film about, let's be honest, an average band.
Whoa! Oh! Oh! Keith's a guy!
Keith's just gone off.
Which bit of that statement do you disagree? Which bit of those facts do you disagree with, Trump's America?
Oh my God!
The band—they're one of the top 10 bands in the world. And to make a movie so offensive, it should be criminal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, guys. I think you suck. I didn't actually give you permission.
It's no Jumanji.
Jumanji is a great film. The remake of Jumanji is a great film. Keith is an idiot. Listen, I did not give you permission to use me in your competition. If you're putting me forward for any more awards, which I'm sure you probably will because I'm great, please could you get permission from me first to use my likeness, okay?
You have a likeness?
Right. Go away. Yeah, it's too loose. Go away. Goodbye. Losers.
I actually love them.
Scumbags.
Keith introduced a word to my vocabulary last month that I am just itching to use on air, but...
Oh, yeah.
Shitbirds!
Wowzers!
He also says things are vomitous.
Oh, my God. It's a strange experience being on the show. It is fun being on their show. They've got this incredible setup, miles from anywhere. Although, we got a cab there when you and I went. It took like an hour and a half.
Astoria.
It took an hour and a half, and it was about $150. I got the train there. It took me 12 minutes from...
What?
So 12 minutes from Times Square.
So that cabbie, what was going on there?
Bridges. It's because it's on a different island. Ah. So it's Bridges. And also, he didn't know where he was going. But the train just goes, it's like 12 stops.
Insane.
Yeah, and then you walk out and it's like, oh, and a nice little diner and was around the corner.
Because when we went, it took ages, like you say. And we were also, we got there really early because we thought it was going to take ages.
Yeah.
It was a really hot, sweaty day.
Horrible,
we turned up
it?
Looking like a couple. I mean, we really let the country down, to be honest.
We did. And that will never happen.
I love them, though, Keith and the girl.
CJ says, Queen are the best band in the world. Well, that is obviously not true. They did 4 good songs. The film is great. And Jumanji is not a remake, it's a sequel.
Oh.
Is he drinking again? What the hell is going on with these guys? 03 4, we'll just take this. I'm taking a few calls straight to air just to try and get the vibe up and running. Good evening, Line 1. You're on the wireless.
Hiya, Ian. It's Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
Hiya. Hello.
You're right, Tracy.
I'm all right.
Do you remember when Michael Barrymore used to say, all white?
What?
All white up the back.
Yeah.
You're white up the back?
Oh, my God.
Was that loaded with innuendo, or am I?
I hope not.
Okay.
I don't think back then that was a thing, was it?
I don't think he was. Anyway, let's move away from that. Hello, who's that? Who just farted?
I don't know who farted.
It was me. It was that guy in the background. I just heard him drop something, and it sounded like his guts. Anyway, Tracy, what can we do for you?
Right, I'm just replying to your what you said about Bohemian Rhapsody. It was a load of crap.
But what's the name of the film, sorry?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, yeah, it's a load of crap. Yes, you phoned in to agree.
No, I don't agree. Disagree completely.
What do you mean? What you saying you like it?
I did like it. I did like the film, but I must admit, Ian, that it was...
boring?
What they told... No, it wasn't boring, but they told the story completely wrong. I mean, it was completely wrong what they said about him with AIDS, blah, 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 and everything. I think it was completely wrong.
Well, the whole thing was made up.
I watched a documentary of Freddie Mercury, yeah. And it was completely wrong.
Yeah, the whole thing was made up, but...
How can you say it was boring? It wasn't boring. It wasn't boring at all.
I stopped an hour and 15 minutes into it. I paused, I looked at my watch... and I saw that there was only halfway through the film, and I thought, I've had enough of this. And I left the cinema to go upstairs to bed.
Really?
Yeah.
How can you say that?
Because it was boring. It was boring.
No,
it was so dull.
Boring at all. Ian, what's up with you? How can you say it was boring? It wasn't boring. He's a legend. Freddie Mercury's
Listen, Freddie's great, but I hate to break it to you. He had nothing to do with that movie.
Exactly. You think
he's dead?
That's true.
He was
dead.
Tracy, can I try something with you?
Right, go on then.
You see how big a Freddie Mercury fan you are, okay? You ready?
Right, yeah. Go on then.
Dale!
Dale!
Dale! Dale! Dale!
Dale!
Dale!
Dale!
Uh-oh. There we go. She's a big fan. She's a big Freddie Mercury fan. She knows all the words to his songs. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Could you fulfil one of my lists on the bucket list? There's something off my bucket list. It's the last one. I'll say thanks in advance. Could you? I've never been top of a radio show. Could you do that for me?
What do you want me to do?
Top me off a radio show.
I'm not going to do that. Get lost, idiot. Hang on. What? Oh, balls.
Played right into his hands.
Get him to call back and I won't cut him off. This is Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, as I left my house today, I had to go and put something in the bin, and I'm so glad I did, because a miracle happened.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like, you know, the second coming? That's not when Jesus came back from the dead, is it? That's when he comes back again next time.
Yeah.
Okay, right. By the way, if you tuned in to listen to Chris Warburton, just being tuned in for that, but... and his excellent podcast, Wake Up to Waco. Is that what it was called?
No, End of Days.
End of Days, but it should have been called Wake Up to Waco.
Which I crammed today thinking, it's going to be on.
Yeah.
At least I can do is listen to his podcast. Excellent, by the way.
Yeah, it's good. It is good, isn't it?
Yep.
It's about the British 29 British people that went over to Waco. It's really well done. You paid for it, license fee, BBC license
fee. Might as well listen.
You paid for it. They flew him over to Texas, you know, hog heaven. Well, he's not coming on tonight, so screw that guy.
Because of Nicky Campbell.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. Nicky Campbell's got kidney stones, and so he's having to cover Nicky. Anyway, so he's not coming on. He is going to come on next week at some point. Next week as well. We've also got Jim Bob, formerly of Carter USM. And I got in touch with Jake Shillingford from My Life Story about sorting out another day because he couldn't do last week. Oh, there's a minute to talk about this for ages. So Pledge... hang on a second. Hello, yes, line one. We'll take call straight to air until at least 11 o'clock, I think, tonight. Yes, line one.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening,
Kath.
Hello.
Good nabbin.
Bohemian Rhapsody. I didn't like the end when they recreated Live Aid.
Okay.
If you ask
spoiler
me,
alert, guys! Spoiler!
Better.
Spoiler
I think
alert!
Everyone knows that.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. But it would have been much better if they'd actually used actual footage rather than.
Well, this is what I don't. I didn't get that far, but yeah, they basically replay the whole Live Aid concert, their bit, which is like 25 minutes, I think. But it's the real Queen vocals. Is that right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of think, why didn't they just show Live Aid? What's the point of that?
They could have morphed the image of Freddy into, like, you know, done some kind of camera trickery.
Or what they could do, this is now this would be a project worthy of doing, and I would donate to a crowdfunder for this. Recreate the whole of Live Aid with tribute acts. I would watch that. Wouldn't you watch that, Simon?
You'd be going to get people like Cheryl Cole and the Spice Girls.
No.
Were they there then?
No.
Do you know what a tribute act is?
Idiot. That was harsh of me. Sorry, I just stepped in. You get Status 2 and...
I see. I beg your pardon.
And Drill Collins. Yes.
Drill Collins. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to watch. I would like to watch that.
Have you seen the Spirit Box videos on YouTube of Freddie Mercury being interviewed in spirit?
No, I've not seen those.
Well, there you go. You into YouTube, Freddie Mercury Spirit Box. There's your homework.
Does he go?
There you are. Okay, thanks a lot.
What is your message for your fans, Freddie?
Here it is. This guy called... Freddie Mercury's spirit speaks. Hear his message from the portal. It's by a guy called Steve Huff. He's had 500,000 views, so it must be real. It starts off at this point, so let's have a little look.
What is your message for your fans, Freddie? I love you. On November...
It's EVP, electronic voice phenomenon. So what it came up with there was, feel guilty... I love him.
I mean, that was Freddie's overriding message, wasn't it? Guilt.
Also, was that his voice?
No.
Why am I even asking that question? Let's carry on with this guy.
24th, 1991. Freddie Mercury, lead singer of Queen, passed away from bronchial pneumonia, which was a result of complications from AIDS. Freddie Mercury was well-loved. As a matter of fact, growing up, I owned Queen albums, and who can forget the anthems that we all know and love? We Will Rock You, Bohemian Rhapsody, We Are the Champions. Okay.
Get to the bit where he talks to the dead man.
That has not only touched my heart and soul, to the channel each and every...
Hang on a minute. Who would sit and watch this
check
crap?
Out just my...
Well, Simon, for a start.
Simon loves it.
Very well. It saddened me. It kind of shocked me. And I feel that a lot of us who love...
Oh, shut up. Here we go.
Thank you. Ed, who do you work for?
Ed.
For you, I heard.
You're brave.
I am brave. I'm not afraid. Mikey.
That's absolute rubbish. I mean, what? Hello, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Oh, Brian, okay, it's Paul Innocent here.
Yes, man, Britain's leading man, Paul Innocent, the greatest. the next James Bond, I predict.
Well, you know, if you're talking about 007, yes. Well, wow, she's Bond.
I would suggest if you go up for the Bond audition, don't do a Sean Connery impression. Own it, Paul. Make it your own.
Well, in that case, I'll turn up and just say it's Bond. James Bond. They call me 007.
I've got some sides here. Because I have to tape some audition pieces to give to my new acting agent.
Right.
And do you tape yourself, self-tape?
I can do self-tape, yeah. I do self-tape sometimes.
Have you got any tips for me? Because I'm a newbie at this.
You're a newbie at the acting thing. Well, the first thing to do is, if you're going to articulate, basically, you never articulate the word until you feel it within your solar plexus.
Now, my solar plexus? Is that my bum hole?
No.
Where is my solar plexus?
On the contrary, my friend, your solar plexus is the centre of feeling as a human being, which is just above your navel, internally, obviously.
Internally,
so until you feel it's real, Give yourself a big yawn. Yawn before you actually articulate, because that'll colour the voice as well. You give yourself a yawn so that the maximum space is in your mouth.
Are you saying you're supposed to yawn before every line? Because I've not seen them do that in movies.
No,
or maybe they cut. They cut just after the yawn into it.
No. On the contrary, you yawn for a few times before you actually do the audition. So it opens the back of the throat up. And then when you're actually ready to articulate those lines, you never utter a word until you actually feel the actual word inside of you.
Okay.
If you don't feel it's real and you don't believe in the word you're saying, it won't come across as being real.
Here's the thing, Paul. I want to... sorry, Sam. I want to do these scenes with you tonight, Paul. How the hell am I going to get this script to you tonight?
Well, you can send it to me at paulinnocent29@hotmail.com.
Are you an idiot? You're sending another actor your lines. You know what's going to happen? He's going to send his own tape in.
No, he's going to get the part. I won't do that because I've just written a two-hour feature film, an American feature film. I'm trying to get that off the ground.
That's exactly what a duplicitous actor would say.
Sorry? Wow. You disgust me.
I've got a cheap American feature film, a two-hour feature film I've just written called A Shot of Passion.
Ooh.
So I'm in the midst of doing that.
Is it a porno?
No, there's no porn. It's just a thriller. It's about infidelity.
Okay.
And the repercussions are pretty bad, you know.
Tell me about it.
It's an interesting plot anyway.
I'm sending you some of my sides. Hang on a minute. I mean, you have just given your email address out on air, which is probably not the greatest thing. Right.
That doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned, because, I mean, they've got it on the Facebook anyway. Anybody can get hold of me via that thing. I've got two or three email addresses.
Right, hang on a minute. I'm going to... hang on a minute. I'm just deleting anything that might mention stuff. Right, hang on a minute. So, recipients. Don't say it, but it's Paul Innocent. We're going to do a little scene together. This is going to be awesome. Right, I've sent it to you.
He
sent it to you now. Have you got it?
Let me open my laptop because I'm trying to...
I tell you what, we're going to have a break. You open your lappy.
Yes.
And we're going to come back. We're acting masterclass. This is inside
okay,
Paul Innocent's studio with special guest Ian Lee. This sounds fantastic to me. You're the master. I'm the student. You're the sensei. I'm the little karate guy. All right, Paul, stay there. This is Talk Radio. So I'm on various local Facebook groups, you know, local villages and stuff, and it's good for finding out about, you know, I'll just say cleaners, I haven't got a cleaner, but you know, you can go on and ask them. So I found out my decorator and the guy that did my boiler, and there's a post here: has anyone lost a black and white cat? Unfortunately found dead. Now it's I mean,
you don't realize you've actually lost it.
Okay, we're gonna have a little acting workshop here. Anyone else, by the way, if you're listening, you want to take part, we're taking calls straight to air for a bit. Why the hell not? Nice gentle Tuesday vibe. 0344 499 1000. Paul, are you there?
I'm here, mate. I've just got your email. Wild Bill, episode 3, pre-shooting draft. Is that right?
That is it. We're gonna do scene 64.
Scene 64, let's have a look. Okay, in Jesuit House, day 5.
I'm Jesuit and you're Bill.
Okay. Well, are you ready?
Should we do it?
Wait, that's what you wanted, isn't it?
This is what we're going to do.
Do you want to yawn first and do all the stuff? What do you want to do first?
What I want is honest feedback from Catherine Boyle, please. Okay.
Well, the Mancunian next year, the Manchester one. It's not too far away.
Aye, that's the one. That's the one. The Manchester one. Groovy train. Aye. bass player in the Soup Dragons. Aye.
I think we're going towards. I thought we were going towards Liverpool.
And your suggestion was don't speak until you feel it in your bum, in your solar plexus.
You're solar plexus.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Your suggestion was don't speak until you feel it in your bum, in your solar plexus.
You've got a funny ear talking about your bum. Your solar plexus. That's
okay.
Right. That's
right.
Above your navel. Nothing to do with your bum hole, mate. I can do
okay.
it now.
Let's do it. Do you want to do... Can you do the directions as well, please?
Okay, yeah. I can. Do you want me to read those as well?
Yes,
all right.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Here we go. This is the scene.
Right, here we go, then.
Welcome to the
in
magic
the hallway.
Of...
You ready?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay. In the hallway, a large wooden board, names engraved...
I'm not feeling it in my solar plexus yet. I'm just waiting for it to build. Is it a build-up?
I gathered that. The pause is a bit too much for radio.
Was that let too much? Was that pause too much, Paul? You're the professional. Was that pause too much?
Yeah, that was. I mean, the way to look at it is, basically, yeah. Your thoughts are basically like a fence. Now, there's such a script. When somebody reads a script, it's either flat, basically, like it's on the floor, or it's standing up on like a fence. The flat ones have no depth. The ones that stand up like a fence are the ones that we're actually putting out the motion and thing. Because you're projecting, even though you don't know you are.
Okay.
You're projecting to the audience.
Yeah.
They've got to pick up on it.
Okay, all right.
So now we know what the direction is. Before I read to you in the hallway, a large wooden board, so-and-so, you're already thinking from the past, linking that thought to what's about to come.
Okay.
So it doesn't come out flat, mate. You know?
All right, here we go. It's going to come out rounded and textured.
Right, I'll do the direction.
Hang on a second. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello there. Who's this, please?
Yes, it's Katya. I hear we can do some acting. That's why I'm calling.
Yes. Surprised you're still in the country.
Oh.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
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 Okay.
But Paul Innocent and I are just doing a little scene.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah. So, well, have you got a copy of the script there?
Not really. When are you going to send it to me?
Well, it's kind of a two-hander.
Ah, okay. What? Is it rude? Is it rude?
Sorry?
Is it rude? Rude?
No, it's not rude. Rude.
Oh. She only does rude these days.
She only does rude. Rude. Hang on, there's someone else there. Who else is there, please, caller? Hello.
Hi, Pam.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, Ian.
Paul, I'll be with you in a second. We seem to have been hijacked by idiots.
No, I just want to be normal. Registry to someone and I get put straight through.
I didn't get that.
You didn't download the app yet, then?
Well, I was having a power nap at 9 o'clock and I just got up. So I'm going to catch up.
You had tomato ketchup? Hello? Hello?
Alan?
Hello?
Alan?
Hello? Okay.
Alan?
Okay, Paul?
Hello? Yeah, no, I'm here. You're talking to me. I'm still here.
Okay, right. Well, Katya, listen. Paul and I are going to do a scene. Maybe you could be the sound FX girl.
Oh, yes.
Okay? All right, Paul, let's do it. Let's do this scene.
Right, OK, I'm going to read the direction again. And remember, to think about the line, you already know your thought on that line. So while I'm doing the direction, have that running through your mind. And once I finish the direction, then you can come straight in.
OK.
On the end of your... all right. OK, here we go.
Hang on. Who's that?
Me.
What?
Andre.
Oh, jeez.
I've got a lovely tune here ready on me lappy.
The thing is, we're trying to...
Are you interested?
Not really, mate. We're doing a little bit of acting.
Oh, so I'll sing the song later on my lappy?
Well, I mean...
It's a Frank Sinatra song I've never sung before, and it's a good one.
Is it Mac the Knife? Can we get on with this?
Okay, so what do you mean,
have a quick listen.
Sorry?
Stormy weather.
Okay.
Blimey. That was by the sound of this, isn't it? My
okay.
God.
Well, Katya, can you do the... Actually, it could be raining, couldn't it? Can you do the sound of rain, Katya?
Softer than that.
It's like nuclear
war. There's a storm behind it.
Yeah, not good. Maybe just a gentle... Could you do a gentle shower for us? Hey,
that's not bad. That's correct.
Katya, remind me, what noise does a cockerel make in Belgium?
Cockerico. Cockerico.
Cockerico, right? That's what it makes over there. What bird goes cocky cock cock?
Cookie cock cock, that's Japan.
Oh, that's Japan. Okay, fine. What noise do you do for guns over there? Because over here we do pew, pew, pew for a pistol, and a machine gun is...
Okay, so a gun is... Pong!
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 Pong! Pong!
And can you remind us what an ambulance says in Belgium?
It's... Pampon?
Pampon? Pampon? Pampon, pampon?
Pampon, pampon?
Sorry?
Pom-pom-pom-pom.
Flipping it. What?
Pom-pom-pom-pom.
So what about the scene now? Because I want to do the noises.
Okay, can we have very, 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 very quietly in the background, can we have an ambulance passing by, please?
Okay.
In Belgium, Caddick.
What are you doing back on, Caddick?
What?
Right. But why is it not the same rhythm? Because it's everything.
It sounds a lot like a clown car to me. Like a.
I don't know. Hang on, who's this?
Hello, it's Will. I could do a metronome to keep you all in rhythm.
Oh. Yeah, because you, if you listen carefully in theatres, you can hear the metronome going. Go on then.
Well, this is more of a rehearsal.
Okay, yep.
Okay.
Here we go. We lost Paul. We've lost Paul. Paul Innocent has had enough.
I think he thinks this isn't a serious audition.
Paul, who's this?
You need the sound of rain.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Well, that's disgusting. Right. Well, Katya, you've scared off Paul Innocent, the next James Bond.
Sorry. Oh my God. Sorry. Sorry, Paul.
Hang on. Paul, is that you?
Groovy times are here again. Well, a clash, nice one.
Okay.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It was, of course it was.
Well, George has verified it, and that's all the information we got. He thinks it was real, we have to go with that. Right, let's go. Sorry, everyone's been waiting for ages, so I'll try and do these in the order that they came in. Good evening, David.
Steve, mate, I've been on hold for 15 minutes. What's going on?
You can be on hold for another five. Let's go to John. Good evening, John.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's good. Okay, mate. What have you got for us?
A couple of things, really. Just with you saying that you felt a bit...
Yeah.
You know, it's... Frankel Farren mentioned that you do a lot for other people as well. It's, you know, for every idiot that you get calling you and trolling you online and what have you, there's maybe 50-100 more people that appreciate you. It's just letting you know, again, there's that side as well.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
it. And Kath as well, she's great. It's good
you're
that
right, I am.
She is great. Kath, here's the thing, and I take the mickey out of Kath, but I think only good friends can take the mickey out of each other and there be no malice. She's my best friend, I love her dearly, and she's put up with me being an idiot and letting her down again and again and again, and she's brilliant, and I love you. And,
Well, that's it. You can feel it.
Can I?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well.
No. That was childish of me, John. I'm sorry.
He's trying to be sincere and nice. Just take it, John. He doesn't.
Take it.
Stop it. He doesn't take compliments very easily.
No.
But
well, not. I don't think, you know, he doesn't get that many coming through on the airwaves, so
well, thank
I think
you,
he deserves a few. So.
You're a good man, John. Thank you, brother.
I think keeping off social media is a good thing.
I think it is. The only reason I might go back on is to sell tickets. If we don't sell enough tickets for these shows, then I might go on and it'll be interesting to see if, go, you know, if the tickets plateau for a week or so, then if I go on Twitter and suddenly we have a boost again, well, then that will prove that there is a correlation.
But it doesn't seem to be the case so far.
No, it doesn't.
So...
We sold 25% of Manchester. But, yeah, being off Twitter, John, the relief is palpable. Listen, I don't think I'm at my... I get very upset by stuff that I read online about me, but also I don't think I'm the best person I can be when I'm involved in electronic media. And I'm going to try and do things a slightly different way. I want to be a better person and I want to be a happier person. So maybe if I do things a slightly different way, that might have an impact. I don't think... you know, I don't think being online is bad for everybody. I just think for some people it heightens negativity.
Well, because you're in, like, the, let's say, the public eye, people will say things to try and get a rise out of you.
Yeah.
Any person would react to that, whether it be you, me or anybody else. It's just different because you're in the public eye.
Yeah, maybe. Would you buy our book if it was just, like, transcripts of the show?
Well, it depends. I keep asking you to come to Middlesbrough, so it might depend on that.
Well, if we come to Middlesbrough...
Yeah, I said last time I rang, remember?
Yeah, we came to Newcastle, and where were you?
Where were you, John, you scumbag?
The thing is, Newcastle's a bit different for me. No, local rivals and that. Middlesbrough's far.
I know, but it's closer to you than we are.
I'll tell you what, John, give us the name of the crappy little village you live in, and we'll... I'm joking. Listen, here's the thing. If we go and play the big cities, we still don't sell out. We're not a big draw, me and Kath. And as much as we'd like to go to every small town, I mean, I'd love to go and do some shows in, like, village halls and stuff like that, but, you know, we're both a little bit skint, and, you know, all we really want to do, we don't do it to make money. If we can come back with a few quid profit, beautiful. Yeah. But as long as we can cover petrol and cover expenses, you know, as long as we can break even and cover a couple of meals where we're going, then we're happy to do it. You know, I think sometimes we come away with 50 quid each, which is always a Brucey bonus.
Yeah.
Second time that phrase has been uttered tonight's show. But we'll see. And also, here's the thing as well. It's me that books it all.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can go to my PA or our tour manager. OK, Alice, can you book us in some dates in these areas? We haven't played. It's me. I've got to go online. I've got to find venues that might accept us. I've got to email them and then sort out dates. And then they send me a date and I can't do it. So I send them a date and that's fine with them. But then I have to go to Kath and she can't do that. It's a flipping nightmare, man.
Yeah. I mean, I said before, I sort of like stumbled across you, really. So,
well, I'm glad you did.
You still have went to Newcastle before. I probably wasn't listening, so I would again.
We'll go up that way at some point. I promise.
Loved it because we had a nice afternoon in Tynemouth, didn't we?
Well, we had we also had great ribs the night before.
Oh yeah, Newcastle proper.
The night
before,
that was filth, man.
Loved it.
Lovely roast at the stand. Oh, it was happy days. Mm-hmm. Happy days. Hey, John. Go on.
Just two more quick points, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go on, man.
One. I know you, like, when I'm saying about things that you do for other people that you don't realise, there's a little Twitter group of us, and a few of us have problems in that, and we're all there to talk to each other. You know, a group of strangers that have come together through your show, you know, that sort of help each other, even though we don't really know each other.
Well, that's nice. Well, hello, everybody on Twitter who listens and supports the show, and it means a lot to us, and we're sending you peace, generally, in general peace and love.
Not everyone has someone to talk to, so it's nice, really, that.
Yeah, you know, can I just say something? You're right, not everyone has someone to talk to, and I found something quite shocking at the weekend. I had to call the Samaritans on Sunday, because I was not in a great place. And I called the Samaritans twice, and there was no answer. Now, it's not in any way a diss to them, because I love the Samaritans, 116, 123, they're brilliant, they're awesome. What that says to me is, my God, they are totally understaffed, you know. I found them twice. Within the space of 15 minutes. It wasn't like I phoned them in the morning. It was 15 minutes. And there was no answer. I managed to kind of laugh at that, and that just sent me back the other way. But if I'd not been able to laugh at that and send me that, you know, I could, if I'd been in a slightly different state of mind and took that personally or took that as a sign from God that, okay, well, even the Samaritans don't want to talk to me. Man alive, it was it's shocking. So I don't know what we can do. Yeah. I give a few quid to them whenever I can. I don't know, but apart of, I thought considered volunteering, and I thought, actually, I don't think I would want to because I do this. It's too similar to what we do here for me to then want to go and, you know, spend, I don't know what how long their shifts are, 5 hours, 8 hours. But anyway, I just thought I'd put that there. Go on, you had another thing.
Yeah, the last thing, yeah, like when you're talking about the Queen film like lately,
yes.
Did you see that the Beatles are doing one? And
don't let me down, don't let me down. Yes, have you heard about this, Catherine?
Yes, yeah, several times. Because you're not on Twitter now, everyone's tweeting me going, has Ian seen this?
So Peter Jackson, the Lord of the Rings boar, has been given 50 hours of previously unseen Let It Be footage. Well, let's just say I've got a triple CD set, so why don't we make that 42 hours of previously unseen footage and 140 hours of previously unheard footage. But actually, all of that Let It Be audio is out because someone leaked all of it. It's all out there. And most of it is terrible, terrible quality. Because it was Mike's... Anyway, but yeah, he's going to basically... Well, it seems to me he's basically going to sort of remake... Do a new Let It Be.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
This time with Paul McCartney's blessing.
Yeah. Well, Paul McCartney's tweeted, hasn't he? He's tweeted like an apple and a thumbs up. I can't wait. That era of the Beatles thrills me and excites me, and I've got a little Ringo Starr boner.
God.
I've got a Pete Best.
Oh, what a thought that is.
All right, John, listen, mate, thank you very much indeed. I'm very excited by that. Very excited. Let's try David again. Let's see if David's got some manners. Good evening, David.
Evening. I'd just like to apologise for the August.
And I would like to apologise for my childish putting you on hold. Yeah. That was immature of me, David.
I've learned my lesson. Please don't put me on hold. It's quite lonely there.
OK, do you want to take us off speakerphone, mate?
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to ask, you guys are doing the tour, aren't you?
We're doing the tour, yeah.
Yeah, which cities are you going to?
We're going to... Just everybody be prepared. I think we've got one, okay? Just, you know. We're going to Brighton. We're going to Bath. We're going to Manchester. And we're going to Glasgow. We're going to Luton, so far.
Not going to Sheffield.
Sorry?
You're not going to Sheffield?
We are not going to Sheffield, no.
That's disappointing. I would have loved to come see you.
You will have to come and see us because I want to fight you.
I will definitely come see you. I will beat your ass.
You're going to beat my ass? You're going to beat my ass? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to beat my ass?
Ian, don't listen, yeah.
Hey, David. David.
Yes.
Do you play a musical instrument?
I can do, yes.
You sound like a banjo player.
I play the banjo.
Yeah, you do. I thought so. I thought you might do. Thanks very much for your call. I knew it. You can spot them a mile off. Lucy, you're next. Then it's Nick. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to Lucy. Good evening, Lucy.
Hello, good evening.
I'm laughing because Kath has got a picture, her screensaver. Do you describe your screensaver? It's brilliant.
My screensaver is my two little girls dressed up as Laurel and Hardy. And
they got the hats on, so we got some hats when we went to see that film.
Yeah. I brought them back and I said, girls, can you just put these hats on and can I just face paint a little black moustache on you, little one? So she's got the littlest one, who's still got her sort of chubby cheeks, is Oliver Hardy, and the other one is very tall and thin. And so she's Stan. And I said, do this. I showed them the faces to do and they've done it brilliantly.
It's such a good picture. They've got it spot on. It's black and white. I'm just saying to Kath, don't leave it in digital format. That would look nice on one of those canvas... You know the canvas pictures you get that are mounted on the squares? I think that would look nice as a canvas. That's all I'm saying.
God bless you.
Beautiful children impersonating beautiful comedians. It's good, isn't it? Sam's seeing it now. Look, he's having a laugh. Isn't it a lovely canvas? Has to be a canvas.
All right.
Has to be a canvas.
I hear you.
Lucy, good evening. What can we do for you?
Hello. It's my first time calling, so I'm a bit nervous.
Well, welcome. I'm sorry we kept you on hold for so long.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
I read your message on Facebook today.
Oh, yeah.
And it struck a chord with me, and I tried to send you an email, but it bounced a couple of times, and then I heard you speaking just now saying you've turned your email off.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd call in.
Hey, thank you.
That's okay. I just wanted to share my experience with you of my bipolar disorder.
Yeah, go on. What's happening for you?
So I was off my meds 3 years ago and got quite depressed and didn't even think that it was meds related or anything. I just, even though I'd had episodes before, I just didn't think about going back to the doctor or anything like that. And then a few months later, I had a manic episode, went on holiday for 2 weeks to Japan and didn't come back for 2.5 months.
Oh, flipping it. I mean, if you're going to go, I hope you don't mind me using the phrase, because I would use this about myself. If you're going to go nuts, you know, doing it for however many thousands of miles away from home. God, that was that. I was going to say that must have been terrifying, but maybe it wasn't terrifying for you. Maybe it was joyous.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I bet. I'm not bipolar, and I am fascinated by the manic part of your disease. You know, I think sometimes I think sometimes I can kind of err on that a little bit, the a very minor polar thing going on, but certainly not enough to be classified as bipolar. Well, how does your manic period start? Is it instant, or can you, have you got like a week or so where you can feel things changing?
It starts with a lack of sleep.
Right.
So I'll start waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning and doing craft projects or rearranging my flat.
Yeah.
And then it sort of gets worse and worse, and then I start to get more extreme and want to go to Tokyo and things like that.
I want to go to Tokyo all the time. I love it. What were you doing in Tokyo then, while you were not well?
At first, I was just sort of doing a lot of karaoke, meeting people, going clubbing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then my bank card got blocked, so I didn't have any money for a while.
Oh, Lucy.
And ended up sort of sleeping on the streets.
Oh, mate!
In parks and things, and doing what I could to survive.
Oh, God. So,
yeah, it was quite an experience. Yeah. And in the end, my brother had to get in contact with the embassy to actually get me home.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was me making light of it, and it sounds like it turned hideous.
No, it was an amazing adventure at the time, but I think when I got back, I was sectioned because I was in the belief that Keanu Reeves was a second coming and that I was an angel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had all gone very squiffy in my mind, and it wasn't until now, sort of 3 years later, that I can see that perhaps it was not big on my meds that triggered the mania and the depression.
I'm assuming you're saying this to me because I mentioned in the post that I've been off my meds for I guess it's 5 or 6 weeks now. Is that right?
And
I was on meds for antidepressants for years, and then a while ago I can't remember the timeline. I came off one of the drugs, the mirtazapine, that was helping me sleep but also making me lethargic, and then I tried for sort of about six months. I was trying to come off the venlafaxine and finally came off it over Christmas. And here's the thing. Maybe it has been a very stressful kind of few weeks anyway, that maybe I would have coped with it a little bit better if I'd still been on antidepressants, maybe not. So I'm not ruling out the idea of going back on antidepressants, but I just want things to kind of calm down a little bit so I can make a slightly more rational decision. Maybe it's just a really, really shitty time, and you know, a normal person, in inverted commas, would be feeling like I'm feeling now as well. I don't know. But
makes a lot of sense.
When you went back on meds, was it kind of a pretty instant return to wellness?
No. So I was put on really strong medication in hospital, which really zonked me out. And then when I came out a few months later, they reduced the dose to a different medication.
Yeah.
And I've been stable on that for 2 years now, 3 years.
Oh, man alive. Lucy, what a story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've got to ask. What was the craziest thing you did in Tokyo then when you were unwell? Because Tokyo is a place where you can go. Tokyo is a crazy place anyway. Mm-hmm. It's bright and it is noisy and it's friendly, and but it can also be very lonely. And it's robots and it's girls dressed as sexy schoolgirls and girls dressed as sexy cats.
Also, people mind their own business, so you can go as wild as you want.
Yeah. So it's a nuts place, but I love it. One of my favourite places in the world. So what was the weirdest thing you did?
The craziest thing I did, which I don't condone at all, was I walked into Uniqlo, put lots of clothes in my basket, put them all on, put my coat and jeans back on and walked out.
Wow. Did you get stopped?
No.
Oh, mate.
Not at all.
Oh, Lucy.
There was no security tags on any of the things.
No.
And
it sounds like that is not your normal moral or ethical direction you'd be heading in.
Not in any way. And I spent two nights for different things in police stations as well. So that was quite frightening.
Yeah, I bet. Listen, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the air and sharing that with us, because that's an amazing story anyway. And secondly, thank you for doing it because you felt that you wanted to offer me some comfort. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I just want to say I love listening to your show, and it did really sadden me to read your post today. So I hope things work out for you, because it's a treat every weeknight to listen to your show.
You're a good woman, Lucy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Take care. Bye bye. I'm reminded, while Lucy was talking, you might have heard me typing. I'm reminded of a book, and I've not read it for about 10 years. It's a great book. It's by Mark Vonnegut, who's Kurt Vonnegut's son. It's incredible, actually. It's called The Eden Express, A Memoir of Insanity. It's a 1975 memoir by Mark Vonnegut about his experiences in the late 60s and his major psychotic breakdown and recovery. The foreword was written by Kurt Vonnegut, who said, quote, Mark Vonnegut's wish is to tell people who are going insane something about the shape of the roller coaster they are on.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.